much about how so easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Seriously, I'm petrified, but shall we?
So far, you're doing a great job.
Really?
No, but we'll see what happens.
Okay, good.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I imagine you have a big...
Maybe.
How big is it?
I'm not sure.
You haven't measured it?
I haven't measured.
It's like, what, 3 inches?
Maybe.
4? 3.
That happened.
Bob bends to the pressure of his peers to be somebody. And smokes a joint. That's street talk. For a marijuana cigarette, Bob lights up and takes a drag. What he doesn't realize is that this seemingly harmless act will bring the walls of his reality crashing down.
Look at this guy, so hopped up on goofballs and grass, he's got no idea what's going on.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What's with the zombies?
Good question.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
All right, now, and we'll get right back to you.
Just like the other one.
You did it, Kevin.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm sorry, sir. I have no idea what you're saying.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine. Let's shine.
Fire beer mug.
Roll another one.
I'm speaking, of course, of the Hummer.
Just like the other one.
I just did it for the money, man.
This one seems to be about to.
I'm hearing some language that I don't like.
I don't have another cent.
I can't get your song out of my mind. I haven't felt this way since Funky Town.
Just pass it around.
That's not really a question.
Okay, all right, so that's what we'll draw the line. And now...
The crazy thing is I never knew that a wiener could actually make me nauseous.
Our feature presentation.
Said no one ever.
That's what you have to tell yourself.
Good morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:34 on Friday, the 8th of March.
Don't get us wrong, Lisa. We are eternally grateful that any woman accepts a penis. Believe me. It's not something I can imagine. No, it's not pretty at all.
Mine's golden.
Friday, guys, finally?
Yes.
Did we survive? Is it Friday? Really?
Sure.
We made it?
Yeah.
These 5-day work weeks are for the birds, by the way.
I'm so with you.
It's my dad. For the birds.
We get kind of spoiled, though, by the President's Day and the King holiday.
We need to keep it up.
The 4-day weeks, you go, that feels right.
Yeah.
Now it's five. Just a wasteland.
It's wrong. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that doesn't mean we're slacking. We have a tremendous program planned for you today. We want to get started. I'll give you your choice of stories today. You can have an NFL player who's working for minimum wage in the offseason, or more fun facts about cereal.
More fun facts about cereal.
Okay, NFL player is what you're asking for. See, you played me.
Yep.
Terrence Gannaway is his name. I'm not familiar with this young man. He is a, I guess he's a second-year NFL player. He's with the Rams. And we've talked about this before. It's a recipe for disaster if you're making a ton of money, you are famous, and you have a lot of free time.
Yeah, that's only bad things can come from that, usually.
How many times do you see that turning into a disaster with people getting involved in fights or, you know, or crime or drugs? Any number of things go bad if you've got that combination. Kevin, you have often said that if you had more money and more time off, you'd be dead, right?
You'd be
dead. It'd be a disaster. Yeah. It's too much temptation.
Yes.
So what's Terrence Gannaway of Los Angeles, the St. Louis Rams doing? What's he doing? Well, he's working at a Jimmy Johnson's sandwich shop for minimum wage in Texas, $7.50 an hour, working at the shop there in Waco, Texas.
Now, why is he doing that? He's in the NFL for 2 years?
He's in the NFL, yeah. He's making the league minimum, $390,000 a year. He tweeted in the offseason that he was bored and was looking for something to fill all his time with. And apparently one of the people who read the tweet was the manager of the Jimmy John's there in Waco, who offered him a job at the sandwich shop, which he accepted several weeks ago, by the way. He said, "I just wanted to stay fit, stay out of trouble, and really just try to save some money and not spend a lot." So he has been doing, I mean, he's just another employee. He sweeps the floors, cleans tables, he slices the meat, wraps the meat, handles cashier duties. He's working at the Jimmy John's. "Never intended for this story to grow," he said. "I'm grateful for the platform that God has provided, and I am honored that so many respect my work ethic." He says, in an interview afterwards, he says, "My number one job is still being an NFL player. Don't get me confused as to why I'm working at Jimmy John's. It has nothing to do with that. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be lazy. I know what I have to do. I know how to get in shape. I know what it takes to perform at a high level. Jimmy John's is just to keep me out of trouble with all the downtime that we have in the offseason."
Huh. He may be the smartest NFL player ever.
No kidding.
And the most disciplined.
His first paycheck, by the way, from the Jimmy John's minimum wage job in Texas was $143.09. That's how much he made for the part-time work that he did that
week. He must just look at that and go, "Yeah, all right."
"I'm just going to burn. I'm going to smoke this. What I'm going to do." So I'm super impressed with this guy, because he seems like the kind of guy who we're going to revisit in 5 years, no matter what his career in the NFL is. And I feel like he's still going to have money.
Yes.
And he's the only one.
He might be the only one. He's not out buying, you know, big mansions and big cars and all that kind of stuff. He's just like, "Hey, I want to stay out of trouble, make a little money." So I'm in, you know, so I'm pretty impressed. And you start to look at the comments, and I don't know why everybody has to hate on the internet, but everybody has to hate on the internet.
Sure.
"Hey, what's pretty cool about this? A rich guy is bored, so he takes a job away from someone that could use it more than him."
Oh, God.
"You want to impress someone? How about doing some volunteer work during the off season?" It's one of the many comments that
wow.
you see out here. I mean, there are some people who are saying, you know, he's keeping it real and he's a role model and blood. But there's so many more of, "I'm willing to bet there are 100 people who would have taken that job and need the money a hell of a lot more than he does." You can't win with some people, can you?
No, of course not. That's why you don't read comments. Unless
know.
You want to do it for comedy. That's the only reason you read comments.
Well, I'm very impressed with Terrence Gannaway. I think that's an awesome story.
I would be too if he wasn't taking our jobs, right? Is that the point?
That's the point, exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
"If I don't acknowledge your existence, maybe you'll just go away."
Wrong. Strange addictions. We didn't have time yesterday. This woman eats car tires.
I must hear this.
I'm dying to hear this one, too.
She eats car tires. That
I bet
happens.
She's hot. I bet she's attractive.
She is the opposite in every way of hot
really?
And attractive.
Because I would think eating tires
nope.
would be exactly what you need for that beautiful complexion.
Would it surprise you to know she has a fiancé?
Yes.
Yes, it would.
She does. She has that. She has a fiancé. She has
somebody
who's...
Is her fiancé a Mazda?
Who's willing to pledge his life to her. A woman
that's not
who
a deal breaker
tires.
That she eats tires.
Right.
He doesn't look at her and go, "Oh, she's got a lot of good things going for her, but I can't marry a woman who eats tires."
I only watched her for, let's see, one of those episodes is 30 minutes. They do two stories, so really about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a sense that eating tires is the best thing about her. That's my feeling.
Well, what's wrong with him? Is he like...
He's a dumbass. Yeah.
Okay.
Look, they're both dumbasses.
They deserve each other.
I'll tell you about the strange addictions coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We also have your tickets for April Foolishness. Those tickets go on sale today at noon, people.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Today at noon, April Foolishness tickets. Zach Braff will be in the studio.
Love him.
Yes.
We asked for somebody from Oz the Great and Powerful, and we got the monkey. So that's how we rate.
Sounds about right.
Speaking of entertainment, Lauren Cohen is going to be in our studio. She plays the character Maggie on a little show we like to call Walking Dead.
Maggie.
Why do we like to call
best.
It that?
That's the name of it.
That's right.
Yeah. She's the best. She's a little
she's having a
cold
hard time right,
now.
Now.
She's got a bit of a chip on her shoulder.
Can't hardly blame her.
She's had a rough season.
Need to straighten her out. We also have the movie beat because it is Friday. And we have your tickets to win for April Fool. Did I already say that?
You missed Russell Hornsby from Grimm. He's
going
to be joining us later, yeah.
Plus, Russell Hornsby from Grimm is going to be joining us later.
Excellent.
I was watching one last night. But you know how you kind of stack stuff up on your TiVo?
Yep.
Right.
And then you go back and you go, "Oh, I should catch up on this. I should see, you know, what's going on." And I started watching it, and I saw some commercials for Christmas sales.
Oh, it's that old?
Yeah. So
the
then
episode?
I went back and looked at it, and it was from November 18th.
Oh, my God.
Well, you got some catching up to do.
I was like, maybe I should catch up a little faster than that. So that's coming up today. We will take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman. That is next.
some of the cast that has been set, and some of us who are just friends of Seth's who have worked with him before. We all got together at a table and read the script, and it is, oh, man. Laugh, laugh, laugh.
He's the funniest.
Thought I'd die. He really is.
And he's
the
funniest.
He's a little star in this film, as well as having co-written the script, and will be directing again like he did with Ted. And I got to tell you, man, boy, is it funny.
Love it.
Great cast, too. The lovely and talented Miss Charlize Theron was there.
Was she asking
about
me?
Did you have to reintroduce yourself, Ralph?
Please. Like she didn't crawl over people to get to me. To give me mad hugs.
She was excited to see you.
No. Giovanni Ribisi just destroyed it last night.
Oh, he's
night.
Great.
He's very funny.
So funny. Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, nice.
He's in the cast. She was there.
It's a great cast.
Nick Kroll was there at the read. I don't know whether he's going to be working the film or not, but what a funny guy. Sarah Silverman, our buddy Sarah Silverman.
Awesome.
Wow.
It was just a room full of funny, funny people reading a hilarious script. And so hopes are very high for Seth's new movie.
And is the table
A Million
read?
Ways to Die in the West.
It's a funny title.
Did he get you because of your country, your cowboy
movie
making? Now that you're known as a cowboy?
Now that I'm known as a cowboy star, sure. I'm the John Wayne of my generation.
Right,
That's how people look at me now. You know?
You're going to be typecast in Westerns only now.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you're going to be able to do.
That'd be cool.
The table read is so that everybody can hear what it sounds like out loud,
yes.
Right?
So all the production people are there and all the executives, and it's just a room full of suits, basically, who just want to hear the film out loud so they get a sense of what the comedy would be like in the movie. You know,
To be a fly on the wall for that.
Yeah, it was exciting because that's how my involvement with Ted started. I remember reading that script for the first time sitting around the table, and you can tell, especially with a comedy, you know, whether it's going to work or not. And it's just a room full of people, so you have an audience. People are laughing at the stuff you're doing. So,
love it.
Man, we had a good time. So, but it was a late night last night, so I, like Dave, am not bringing my A game tonight.
Was Dave there as well?
Dave was not there.
Was he at the table?
I don't know what Dave's excuse is, but...
How about that?
I was staying up late to watch the Clippers lose to Denver.
The Clappers. All right, let's move forward with some showbiz news. And by the way, folks, don't forget, this weekend it is daylight savings time, so you got to make sure to set your clocks ahead.
Daylight savings.
A couple hours. I think seven hours.
I think it's just 1 hour. What are you doing? Yeah. We're trying to tell the people to set their clocks ahead.
Trying to do a radio program here, talking about daylight savings time. So do you mind?
Saving.
Jessica Simpson revealed the sex of her soon-to-be-born child on the Jimmy Kimmel Show this week. I don't know if you guys saw the clip or not, but she said she was totally nauseous during this pregnancy, which was different from her first. And she said, I never knew a wiener could make me nauseous.
The crazy thing is I never knew that a wiener could actually make me nauseous.
Jimmy didn't get it. Everyone started laughing. She's like, she went, oh, I can't believe I did that.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Oh, I can't believe I just revealed the sex of the baby. And Jimmy went, oh, that's what you're talking about. I think Jimmy was equating it to the cause of the pregnancy being a wiener that made her nauseous.
And that's what I thought originally when I heard it.
Almost everybody did. But yeah. She was so shocked that she revealed the sex of the baby and tweeted, I am so apologetic about how I did it. And come on, you know, that she had written that line in the dressing room before she came
out. Somebody else had written it.
First funny thing she said in 5 years. Believe me, it was planned.
Yeah, so she's going to have a baby. Kim Kardashian, by the way, according to friends, is just miserable about what's happening to her body since her pregnancy.
Oh, I imagine.
That's why she's working out so hard, they say. She's going to all these different gym classes and working out, and they say she's got a picture of herself in a bikini taped to her fridge, like she's on a diet or something.
Oh, dear God.
That's a terrible plan for a baby.
And she's jetting around trying to keep up with her high-paced lifestyle and stuff, and they say friends say, the quote is from the article, which I thought was interesting, not respecting the pregnancy. So, it kind of makes me happy that she's so miserable.
Does it?
That makes me happy. I fear for the health of the child.
But yeah.
But it makes me happy that she's just hating
spinning
it.
Spinning out.
Just spinning out of control. Because this isn't about her. This experience really isn't about her. It's about the baby, and she can't grasp that. So all of her biggest flaws, I think, are coming to light.
Yeah, she should be spending all of her time thinking about what she can do for that child.
Absolutely.
Right now. And instead, she's just thinking about what she can do for Kim Kardashian.
Right. Hey, it's a perfect gift for our guest Lauren today, who's coming in.
Okay.
Lauren Cohen, of course, of The Walking Dead. A new company called Demeter is putting out zombie-inspired fragrances. You want some zombie perfume?
I don't know.
Zombie-inspired fragrances.
Yes. Zombie for her and zombie for him.
From what I know of zombies, that can't smell good.
You don't want to smell like a zombie?
No.
Well, according to people who have sampled the new fragrances, here's what the undead smell like.
Smells like donkey ass.
No. Smells like dirt.
Dirt.
Yes. Some people say it smells like a bag of grass.
Okay. I like the smell of grass. But
is this a novelty gift or something you're supposed to give a Walking Dead enthusiast to put on their shelf? No one's going to wear this.
It's an actual fragrance company, and they claim it's an actual fragrance for fans of The Walking Dead and other zombie films. You can now wear Zombie the Fragrance.
What's with the zombies?
If it's not rotting flesh, I don't really see the point.
If it's dirt, there's dirt available. You can just roll around dirt in dirt.
Yeah. My dog does it all the time.
Yeah.
And lastly, I was really saddened when I heard the news about Valerie Harper, TV star Valerie Harper. Yeah. You may remember her as Rhoda from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. She had a very successful spinoff show with that same character. She had a show called the Valerie Show, I guess it was. It later became the Hogan Show after she left. She's been on television for a long, long time.
I don't even know what that is.
And she has revealed that she has about 3 months to live with a diagnosis of advanced brain cancer.
Ooh. Asshole.
I don't think it's her fault.
Oh.
But what struck me as odd was, first she announced it, which I thought was brave of her. Then she did a big magazine article and cover regarding the illness. And now she's making a TV appearance on Monday's edition of The Doctors, where she will be reunited with castmates Cloris Leachman and Ed Asner and talk about her brain cancer on television.
It's a brain cancer tour?
Yeah, it's what it seems like. It's like she's doing a big brain cancer PR push. To which I would respond, good for you if I thought it was some sort of communicable disease that maybe if you raised awareness about it would save someone else from getting it. But this isn't going to stop someone else from getting brain cancer, really. And I can't comprehend the thought process behind the sort of look at me aspect of what she's doing right now. With 3 months to live, I wouldn't be showing up on The Doctors.
No.
And doing a cast reunion with Ed Asner or doing a magazine interview. I'd probably, be finishing up my bucket list or whatever she's got going on with her family.
Yeah,
it strikes me as odd, that's all.
It is odd because I can see her wanting to get together with those people that she's been friends with for decades and say goodbye.
Yeah, well, there are restaurants you can do that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, why does it have to be on television? Exactly.
Yeah, it just strikes me as strange, but still, I feel for her and her family. But I just get, the more publicity this thing gets, the odder and odder it gets.
It is strange.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kat Von D, our good friend, a tattoo artist and TV personality. She turns 31 years old today.
She's still dating the Dead Mouse? Do we know? Are they still on?
I don't know.
I believe so.
I don't know.
I seem to remember some sort of Twitter situation or something where they're not...
She's with the mouse head, though. She's,
oh, yeah, just
she
the
gets
head,
custody
yeah.
of the head.
He gets weekends. Andy Ross of OK Go is 34 years old. Tom Chaplin of Keen is also 34. James Vanderbeek. From Dawson's Creek fame, and he was also who hit the bee in the
bop, don't trust bop, the bee in apartment 23, right?
Yeah. He's got a new series coming out. He's got his own series.
Okay,
in the fall.
Good.
Is it called "I Don't Want Your Life"?
No, it's not called that. It's a comedy, co-starring Brooklyn Decker.
All right.
Oh, nice.
It's a good-looking couple right there. He's 36. Actor Freddie Prinze Jr. is 37, and actress Cameron Mannheim. You probably remember her most from Boston Legal, I guess, and then The Ghost Whisperer, Harry's Law. She works a lot. She had the legendary acceptance speech. Remember when she won an Emmy? I believe it was for Boston Law.
She the one that said, this is for all the fat
practice,
people?
The practice.
The practice.
For it. Yes. And she got
this is for all the fat girls!
Yeah.
That was
her? That was her. That was Cameron Mannheim. 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Friday morning, time for the Movie Beat with the great and powerful Ralph Garman.
And go.
Is it not the Movie Beat? Do I have that wrong?
And then...
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Let me explain a little something to the listeners about the guy who's running the...
please do, because I'm confused as
the
well.
The production
Ralph.
Elements of the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, the guy who sits across the console from me here, just moments before we went on the air said, ow, I just poked myself in the eye. he's like, he needs a helmet. He needs to wear a helmet. And... had mittens put on him so he doesn't kill himself, and then we ask him to run the elements of the show, so I don't know what we're thinking. It is Friday. That means we take a look at the new movies coming out in Cineplexes around the corner from you. Here's what you can check out. This is the film I'm most excited about this weekend, and it's in limited release. It's a tiny little documentary, and there's a lot of other bigger, more high-profile films that may be trying to get your entertainment dollar. But this film, for me, I can't wait to see it. I think it's fascinating. It's called Don't Stop Believin', Every Man's Journey. And it is a documentary about the story of Arnel Pineda. Now, Arnel, you may know, is the lead singer of Journey, but you may or may not know is that he was plucked from YouTube to become the new singer for the band Journey. Legendary band, of course, whose biggest hit, I guess, was Don't Stop Believin', but, you know, Huggin' and Squeezin' and Lovin' and all those other smash hits that they had.
Who's Crying Now?
Who's Crying Now? I mean, just one of the biggest bands of the 70s and 80s, Journey. And sure, they're the nostalgia tour band now, but their lead singer, Steve Perry, retired, didn't want to do it anymore, and they went on YouTube and found this little Filipino guy who was in a Journey cover band who just destroyed these songs, had this amazing voice, and they plucked him out of obscurity and made him the lead singer of the band that he was giving tribute to in his cover band.
He's kind of like Kevin and Bean's Rockstar, kind of like that movie, except in real life.
Much like Rockstar, the movie, yes. And Judas Priest also had this story. But I never get tired of this story. I never get tired of the story of somebody who is plucked from obscurity and then allowed to live their biggest dream.
He must have thought that call was a joke at first, right?
And he is nothing like you expect a lead singer of a band to be. No. He's a tiny little Filipino guy, but he has got a huge voice and just crushes these songs. And they've been doing great with him as the front man
of
the band.
He's a dead ringer for the lead singer, too. I mean,
vocally,
it sounds exactly the same.
Yeah.
Maybe better.
And so, I think I remember, Ralph, that there was something fascinating about his backstory, too. Like, he was homeless or something like that. Like, really, talk about turning his life upside down with a phone call. Yeah, like, everything changed.
This is a great rags-to-riches story, and I'm looking forward to checking it out this weekend. So look in the local listings to find a theater near you.
What's it called? Little Filipino Dude?
Don't Stop Believin'.
Don't Stop Believin'.
I like Kevin's title better.
Every Man's Journey is the subtitle, so you can check that out. Also opening up this weekend, Colin Farrell returns to his action roots in a film called Dead Man Down. Terrence Howard, Dominic Cooper, and Nomi Rapace also star in this film. In New York City, Colin plays the right-hand man to Terrence Howard, who is a crime lord. But Colin gets seduced by one of his boss's victims, who is a woman seeking retribution against the crime lord, and so Colin turns against his boss and takes on all of his troops in order to bring down this man. Women, man. Women's be causing trouble. Guy's got a perfectly good job as a right-hand murderous assistant killer to a crime lord, and then this young lady comes along, bats her eyes, and next thing you know, he's taking on his boss.
That's right, Adam Carolla.
Putting life and limb at risk to take on his boss. Here is a scene from Dead Man Down where Terrence Howard is telling Colin Farrell what he wants him to do.
The tech said not to tell anyone I was coming. I told him I had something to do.
I set a trap, Victor. I said whoever walks through that door at 9 o'clock was going to have a real bad night. The person doing this to me, he's hurt. And it's a pain that I've caused. Victor, I want him to know something. I want him to know that if there's anything left in this world that he still cares about, I'm going to find it. And I'm going to burn it down.
Ah!
That's terrifying.
Yeah, that's a guy you don't want to cross. And yet Colin does, and bad things happen. And then the big movie this weekend, Oz, the Great and Powerful. Sam Raimi is the director. It is a prequel to The Wizard of Oz. You know, the famous movie The Wizard of Oz we've all seen. I believe even Kevin has seen The Wizard of Oz.
I have seen that, yes.
And classically, of course, Dorothy and her friends are trying to get to the wizard to get what they all need. She wants to get home, and the Scarecrow needs a brain, and the Tin Man needs a heart, and the Lion needs courage. So they go to see the Wizard of Oz, and it's just the climax of the film where they finally meet the wizard. But he ends up being sort of a charlatan behind the curtain, pulling some levers and creating.
Hey, spoiler alert!
I think we're good. 1939. I think we're all good. Oh. But this is the story of how that man got that position. How did this small time con man, this magician, end up in Oz and end up being the wizard, And this is a prequel that tells that story. James Franco plays a small-time magician who ends up stranded in the Land of Oz, and he has to decide who he will help and who he will stand up against. The three witches, three sisters who are witches, are all vying for his attention and his favor. Rachel Weisz, Mila Kunis, and Michelle Williams all star as the witches. That's pretty
Sweet.
Good.
Yeah.
It's a good trio of witches.
Yeah. That's a good
right,
deal.
Right there.
Those are great witches.
Now, I thought it was interesting. You know, the Frank L. Baum books that The Wizard of Oz was based on, the Oz books, are now in public domain.
Is that right?
So you can take these characters in the story and do pretty much anything you want with it and not have to pay anybody.
How about that?
Disney's announced they're already working on a sequel to Oz the Great and the Powerful before this one even comes out because they have that access to all that rich history of characters and stuff. But the stuff they can't talk about is the stuff that was created for the MGM movie in 1939, like the ruby slippers. You can't talk about those anymore because those are still copyrighted.
So this is a prequel that can't mention the original?
Those elements that was added to just the film in 1939.
That was not in the book.
That was not in the book. Anything from the book is fair game. So that's what you'll see in this film. Here's a scene from the movie where Rachel Weisz is questioning Mila Kunis about her loyalty.
Well, maybe it's you I'm underestimating. Have you finally joined her side, sister? I am on no one's side. You know that. I simply want peace. It's all I ever wanted, and the wizard can do that. He's a good man. Oh,
what do you know about goodness? Deep down, you are wicked.
I'm not
wicked!
That temper really is wasted on you.
Ah! One of the sisters becomes Glenda the Good Witch, and one of the sisters becomes the Wicked Witch of the West. Who will be wicked? I don't know. Maybe that little clip had a hint for us. I can't tell. I'm too drunk. Anyway, those are your choices for the weekend. Oz and the Great Powerful looks like a good time, a big-time popcorn movie. But again, the film that interests me the most is this Don't Stop Believin' documentary about the new lead singer of Journey. I know you say, why would I care about who's the lead singer of Journey? But I'm telling you, fascinating story. And you may want to check it out if you get the chance. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Actress Lauren Cohen, she joins us in studio next hour here on The Kevin Bean Show from The Walking Dead. She plays Maggie, don't you know? Also, the great Zach Braff will be here, and Russell Hornsby from Grimm. That's a lot of show. Plus, of course, we'll get your chance to win tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's Day 2013. The show is Saturday, April 6th at the Gibson. Tickets go on sale for everyone today at noon, but your chance to win on the way this morning from K-Rock.
We're obsessed with Strange Addictions on TLC. It is on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m.
That sounds right. And TLC, I'm not familiar with that network. Lisa, what's that stand
That's
for?
That's the Freak Show Network.
That's correct.
That's the Freak Show Network. That's right.
Here's a fun little exercise. Go to YouTube and type in Strange Addictions Eating.
Okay.
And then you'll see the list underneath it of poop, cat hair, rocks, iPhones, ashes, glass, cat fur, nail polish, toilet paper.
Oh, my God.
Trash. And we've had bee stings. We've had a girl that eats sand. Where do they find these people?
Where do they find these people is a great question. And Kevin, you brought up another great question, which is how is all of these people seem to have significant others?
Yes, this girl that we're about to talk about has a fiance.
Is there no such thing as a deal breaker anymore, people?
She eats rubber car tires.
How? How does she do that?
Well, she cuts them up into little slivers. You know, like the hair that tires grow, sort of? You could pull off the little
rubber wiggly things.
It's like little gummy worms or whatever. And she and her fiancé works at a tire plant.
Well, that's convenient.
And brings home tire parts and his clothes so that she can eat them. Here she is.
My name is Allison. I'm 19 years old. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm addicted to eating rubber tires.
Yep, that's funny. She's addicted to eating rubber tires. She's 19.
Okay.
She looks like you would think.
Yeah.
As a girl who's 19 eating rubber tires. How long?
For the past 6 years, Allison has been addicted to eating tires. Morning, noon, and night, she snacks on the black rubber, consuming up to 14 pounds per month.
She's not going to make it to 30, right?
She has a bowl that she carries around that's full of those little black tire slivers.
Everyone this season that we've talked to, the bee sting lady carries bees in her purse, the sand lady carries sand in her purse. I guess you just have to take whatever your snack is with you.
Who's hungry?
What does she like about it? The taste? The texture?
The texture of the rubber pieces is kind of like beef jerky. And your teeth, like, springing off of it. It's a workout for your jaw.
It's a workout for your jaw.
Well, that's the only thing she's working out, by the way.
But she probably just does it for the taste and doesn't swallow it, right? I mean, if she likes the taste or the texture, once that's gone, you spit it out.
Like gum, right? You chew the gum, you enjoy the gum, and then you get rid of it.
Because this is rubber, though.
I'll chew them until they lose, like, their chemical taste. Mm-hmm. And I swallow them. It doesn't matter about the time of the day. It's just whenever I need it.
Whenever I need it.
She likes the chemical taste?
She likes the chemical taste. When it loses that, she swallows them.
Oh.
Is that all she eats? No, it isn't.
I also like rubber bands, rubber glue, bouncy balls. I've also tried dog chew toys, but I don't like it because the rubber's harder.
The rubber is harder with the dog chew toys, so she doesn't like it. She'd rather go with car tires.
Do you think she has a mineral deficiency of some sort that's creating this craving?
I think she has a mental deficiency of some sort.
That may be it.
I don't know what's going on. Why did she start? That's a fascinating question that we always ask about these people. At what point did you say, I need to eat a car tire?
6 years ago, Allison's addiction started as a replacement for gum.
I saw some rubber, and I was like, this could save money because it's free. So I chewed it, and I don't think I've bought much gum since.
She says, all smug, like she's showing us all.
That she is saving 40 cents a pack. That does make sense, though, if she was chewing a lot of gum and spending a lot of money on gum, that she would look for something more permanent or free. I understand that, but I don't
because
know if
you're
tires
a cheap
is
bastard.
Where you live. No, I mean, just talking about from her perspective. I don't know what her situation was. I can at least understand how that got started, but she's eating and swallowing it. I don't get that.
Now, her rocket scientist fiancé is very upset about this, and he really wants her to stop eating the car tires, and yet brings it home every day from work.
This is like, hey, wife, you're fat and you need to go on a diet, but I work in a chocolate store, so let me bring you candy every night. That's what this is,
bucket loads of candy. She's got baskets of this stuff all over the house.
Oh, my God.
So he says, and I have to tell you because you can't understand him, he says, I want you to stop doing that because, you know, it's unhealthy for you. And she has an interesting response to him.
Stop doing that crap.
Why?
It's going to kill you.
You didn't get a PhD in medical, so hush.
You didn't get a PhD in medical, so hush.
Usually on every episode of My Strange Addiction, and I'm sure this one is no different, the family member talks them into going to a doctor so that they can hear it from somebody official that what they're doing is harmful.
Which was the next step, and this is what the doctor had to say.
The things that they use to treat the rubber can cause nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. The worst case scenario is that you could potentially get cancer. I would recommend you immediately stop eating the rubber products.
Now, isn't that something she could have just called me and I could have told her?
Yeah, I think so.
Why pay a doctor?
But you didn't get a PhD in medical whatnot, so hush.
So hush. So hush.
All right, so let's. This is the point
this
of the show. Every week, this is the point where we go, the doctor has said what you're doing could kill you. Does the patient take the doctor's advice and immediately stop the strange addiction?
19-year-old Allison eating car tires. Does she quit? Does she listen to the doctor? Or does she just keep right on eating it?
I am going to guess she is not a quitter. I think she sticks with eating the car tires. What do you think, Lisa?
I'm with you.
I'm going to quit cold turkey. I don't want stomach problems. I don't want cancer. I don't want to be unhealthy. I'm going to get help and try to live as long as I can.
How about that? Didn't see that coming.
Did not.
So wait a minute. So if this show, My Strange Addiction, had not come along, she would not have known that tires were bad for you to eat?
She said all along they're not unhealthy.
And she would have just kept going with
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes.
This show is saving lives, people.
That's what I'm saying. I would like to get a follow-up on her, though, 6 months later.
Yeah.
You know she's snacking on little tires or something, right?
Chew toys, something.
Chew toys. She's got the rubber around.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman joins us once again for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
It's time for Justin Bieber to leave London. Time for him just to go.
Leave the earth.
He has not had a good visit to the UK.
It's been great for him. He's been partying every place. They've got photos of him going into every nightclub, and he's walking around with his shirt off, and he's sleeping till noon. He's having a great time. The trip's been great for him. For his fans, it blows. First, he goes on 2 hours late into a concert, and then last night, performing at London's O2 Arena, he fainted backstage, and the show needed to be stopped for 20 minutes.
Wait.
He's a dick.
During the show?
Yes, because they claimed he needed oxygen. Justin's manager, Scooter Braun, by the way, Just a douchebag name. There's no way he can be a decent person with the name Scooter Braun. He went out and told the audience that Justin is, and I quote, very low of breath.
Very low of breath? Who talks like
that? Is he a Shakespearean character out of some sort of Elizabethan play? Forsooth, Justin be very, very low of breath.
What's happening?
But the show will continue anon. Good morrow to you, ladies and gentlemen. So they gave him oxygen, and he came out and finished the concert. But he's 12. How can he get so out of breath doing a show?
That would be hungover, Ralph.
That's what I'm saying, Kevin.
That would be my guess.
Oh, God, I need him out of this world.
He's a dick.
He is. This is the all-dick edition of the Showbiz Beat. How about this guy? How about Bean's buddy Chris Brown? Bean's good friend Chris Brown.
Now what? Is he my buddy?
Because you're like, I think people can change and he can recover. I'm sure just because he beat up Rihanna once doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He's probably the best guy in the world. Remember when he said that?
I don't remember him saying that's exactly what he said.
So now this video on TMZ pops up. He's at a charity event Wednesday night at a bowling alley in Studio City, California. And he goes out to get his car. So he goes out to the valet, and the car's brought around, and the valet says to him, that's $10, please. Well, you would have think he said to Chris Brown, give me a kidney.
Really?
Chris Brown goes off on this poor guy.
Don't you always have to pay for valet?
Yes, of course you do.
Always. Huh.
He goes off threatening not only to F him up, but to destroy the business itself.
How's he going to do that?
I don't know, but here's the audio from someone caught it on tape, the altercation between Chris Brown, who's about a foot taller than this valet, by the way.
Hey, give me my key. Give me $10. Give me my key.
Let's go.
We're going to turn this whole spot up.
We got it right here.
We're going to tear this whole spot up, I promise you.
Is he unfamiliar with how valet parking works?
He's a dick.
Yesterday, Chris claimed he got upset because the valet was trying to rip him off. He says the parking fee was $5 for everyone else.
Yeah, I'm sure they pick on a guy with a notorious
bad attitude and violent temper. Those are the guys that decide to roll for the extra fiver. And by the way, give him the $10. Just shut up.
Agreed.
What's he making a year, Chris Brown? What do you think he's pulling in?
Millions.
Rough estimate, right? A couple mil?
Yeah, sure. Easy.
Here's what I suggest. Pull out a 20 and say, keep the change. And get in your car and shut up and go home. You don't threaten to beat up a valet who's making $4.85 an hour and then burn the bowling alley down.
Who's the other guy? Is it the security guard?
He's surrounded by a posse.
Oh, we got it. We got it. Here's your keys. Here are your keys. We got it.
In that video, you can see it to TMZ.com. It looks like Chris Brown's security guy realizes he's at a flashpoint, and we've just got to get this guy out of here before he really does throw a punch. I mean, his security guy is practically dragging him off of the valet guy.
Yeah. And he's yelling to everybody, no pictures. Shut up.
Yeah.
If you're going to assault somebody, I'm taking pictures.
Big, giant douchebag. That's the time everybody should be taking pictures.
I don't really know him, but he just seems like a dick to me.
Oh.
You sound like an unbelievable douche.
He's bad.
Yeah.
He's a bad person.
He and Bieber need to be sent to the same island.
Yeah, they do. And Gene Simmons, he's just the man. He is, he's always thinking this, Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
He's always creating new ways to make money off the Kiss name. Here's his latest scam. Fans in Australia can buy the guitar Paul Stanley will use on stage each night during the band's tour in Australia.
Okay.
For $5,500.
Smart.
For $5,500, you can buy the guitar Paul Stanley uses that night at the show.
What do you think those cost?
$107. Just a guess. But I'm thinking it's a significant markup. You get to meet Paul before the show, and then during the concert, he will smash the guitar you just bought your honor.
Hey, don't, but...
Really?
I want that.
$3,000 will buy you Paul's microphone. And that you can even take home in working order.
How do you have to pay for Paul? Is he for sale?
I'm sure he's for rent. Even if you buy the guitar or the mic, by the way, you still have to buy a ticket for the show. Even if you go pre-show and you buy the $5,500 guitar or the $3,000 microphone, you still have to... buy full price.
Yeah, Gene doesn't give anything away.
No, he does not.
No, he doesn't.
So,
that's why Gene has never been in an altercation with a valet, because he only parks on the street.
That's right.
I'm sure.
And he puts a slug in the meter.
Right.
Never even uses a real coin. He's just got some. He's got one of those metal slugs. Today's celebrity birthdays: Kat Von D from L.A. Inc. fame is 31 years old. Today, guitarist Andy Ross of OK Go turned 34. Also 34 is singer Tom Chaplin of Keen. James Vanderbeek from Dawson's Creek is 36 years old today. Freddie Prinze Jr. from I Know You What You Did Last Summer in the Scooby-Doo movies, he's 37. And Cameron Manheim from Ghost Whisperer and Harry's Law and The Practice, 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
About 20 minutes ago, Lisa May did a commercial where she told you that the tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness were tomorrow.
Oh,
she's effing with you. She's giving
damn
you a hard time. Lisa. You can't trust her for any actual information.
Yesterday.
Brad Williams, Ari Shaffir, Rob Delaney, Doug Benson, Bill Burr, Jay Moore. Tickets go on sale today at noon. If you wait till tomorrow, it will be Lisa's
Don't
cruel joke on you.
Oh, crap. Try to be relevant. Look what happens.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, too, Lisa. I wanted to tell you that. I don't know how this is a good idea, but and maybe this is my own ignorance, but the impression that I get in much of the Middle East, even in democratic countries like Israel, is that they are not so much with the scantily clad ladies over there. You hear stories all the time about about big trouble if somebody is not modest enough. In some places, the women have to wear the headgear, and you never show cleavage, or your skirts can't be too short. You hear stories about that all the time from Middle East. That's
the headgear sounds like you got that braces thing.
I know,
on.
I had that in grade school.
I'm talking about the hijab or whatever they call it.
I don't think it's gear though. But go ahead.
It's the hijab. Is that what it's called? Is all that right. The proper
sure.
name? So I'm just surprised to see that Playboy is going to make a go of it by putting out a Hebrew edition of Playboy in Israel. Now, doesn't it seem like any store that carries that is just going to be opening themselves up to be burned down?
I don't know. I don't know what it's like there. I mean, you have been able to buy the regular Playboy in Israel, but now this is an Israeli Playboy. This is a Hebrew Playboy.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this, so we asked producer Dave if he could line somebody up to talk to us, and I'm happy to say that.
Go ahead.
That's Shlomo Dichter.
Is Shlomo Dichter the correct name, sir?
Shalom, yes, that is my name. I'm Shlomo Dichter.
All right,
Shalom to you both.
Well, welcome to the show, sir. So we have it right.
Why
there's
are you
gonna
laughing
be...
so much? Why is there so much with the laughing from you?
I apologize, sir. So there's going to be an edition of Playboy in Israel in Hebrew now.
That's right. In the Hebrew language, we will have the Playboy magazine, and we think everyone will really like it.
Now, the article that I read says this quote: "Religious zealots have frequently burned down bus stops with ads of fully dressed women, and have prompted major advertisers not to use female models, regardless of how modestly they are covered up." That sounds like what you're doing, Shlomo, is a recipe for disaster.
Yes. Listen, here's my thought.
Okay.
Yes, some religious zealots do like to burn materials that have beautiful women on them.
Right.
So I'm thinking. I think to myself, I say, Shlomo Dichter, what's so funny?
Who's with you?
That's Omar.
You have an Omar with you,
you
too?
You have a guy named Omar?
Yes. Huh. I say, Shlomo Dichter?
Uh-huh.
And with a name like Dichter, it's got to be good.
Right.
Dichter? I hardly even knew her.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Used to say in college.
I bet.
But I said, Shlomo Dichter, if they want to burn things, what better than magazines for burning? Because they light easily, and they catch on fire easily.
Mm-hmm.
And the religious people will be buying magazines just to burn them.
Oh, I see.
They'll be selling out every issue because they'll be coming and they'll be burning and they'll be buying and say, oh, we already burnt one, so now we need another one to still burn it, so let's buy some more and then burn it in a big bonfire of burning books.
What if they burn your store down, though?
Well, okay. It's not a perfect plan, but
okay,
it's a good plan.
It's not. It's a good plan. All right. Let me ask you this. And again, I'm asking you to be delicate here, Shlomo Dichter, because we might have the kids listening here. But how will the pictorials be different compared to the Playboy that maybe we're familiar with here on the West? Will they also be more modest, or will the ladies still be completely naked?
This is an important distinction you make.
Okay.
Because we had Playboy before. And it was always the playboys from the girls from other places and stuff. This is now a homegrown Playboy models in this magazine.
Okay, so only Israeli models?
That's right, only Israeli models.
Okay.
We got the beautiful girls with the Shana Punim there in all the pictures, and it'll be, you'll see all the boobies, and you'll see everything that you could see in a regular Playboy, only in this case, they'll all be circumcised.
What?
But we're talking about ladies here, right? It's just women,
all right, good point. Not circumcised. But they'll all be kosher. At no time will you see meat on their dairy at all, at any time. No.
Okay.
They'll be separate, on separate plates they'll be kept.
Okay.
I think that's right. Now, you,
those
of course,
are euphemisms, by the way.
Yeah, we got that.
Yes,
the
we
milk,
understood that.
The milk is from one part of the body, and the meat is the other.
What just happened?
And I'm sorry, your name again, sir, I forgot. Who are we talking
Shlomo
to?
Shlomo Dichter.
That's right, Shlomo Dichter.
I don't even know it.
And you have a lot of very beautiful ladies in Israel as well, right?
You don't know if you don't know from ladies if you've never been to Israel. Israeli women are the most beautiful, I think, of all the women.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them. Some have a big mole with a hair coming up, but most of them are beautiful, especially when they're young. And then they get old, and oh, the ass gets so big. But the beautiful young women of Israel, I think this will do wonders for also tourism, because guys will look at Israeli Playboy and say, holy crap, I got to get me some of those Israeli women! Hey, you know Natalie Portman?
Yeah.
Israeli.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Good.
That's all I got to say right there.
I agree.
Sold.
Would you like to see her naked in Playboy?
Sold.
Is sure.
It's not going to happen.
Have you contacted her? Is she in?
She's not in.
Not in.
No.
Okay.
But when she gets in, she'll get back to me, I'm sure.
All right, Shlomo, thank you.
Oh, please, call me Dichter.
Lauren Cohen is Maggie on The Walking Dead and joins us in studio here on The Kevin and Bean Show right now. I was not prepared for that accent coming out of that mouth. I have to be honest.
Did you read the bio?
Yes, but still, it's not the same. It's like when you see Andrew Lincoln, when you see him talk in interviews, you go, wait a minute, that's not Rick. Mm-hmm. Hi, Lauren. Welcome. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
Are you like a foreigner and some junk?
I'm like a foreigner and all that junk.
Well, you were born here, but raised there?
Born here, but raised in England. My mum's Scottish, my dad's American, and, you know, I'm a little gypsy.
Did you? I'm fascinated by this. So, how much time have you spent in each country since you've been grown?
Well, I don't even think I'm grown yet. But I moved to England when I was 14, and then I moved back to LA. I guess when I was 22.
Wow! How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And did you come back to the United States because of acting? Is that why?
I did. I actually came here for the premiere of Van Wilder 2, The Rise of Taj. Very, very big hit. And and just decided to move when I got here. And it was a very whimsical decision, actually, because I moved and then I moved, if you get at my drift. I was
so
here
just
and then
pretty
I
much
moved.
Said, you know what, I'm staying.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So it was good. They put me up in the Regent Beverly Wilshire, and then I realized that you have to pay rent if you want to stay there.
Ah.
Oh, wait a minute.
That can happen.
Yeah.
So exactly. When you're in America, do you miss Britain and vice versa?
Yes, very much. It works best if I just go back and forth between the two.
We were just talking about the rain today. That reminds you of home?
Yes, makes me feel very cozy.
Does it?
Yeah. Hmm. It upsets me that people can't drive in this weather, but it's okay.
It upsets all of us.
It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. We turn into complete tards.
Well, they don't slow down, I think, is the problem. People
those
just
people
think they
that
can
drive
go
fast, those are a-holes.
Yeah,
you have to hate Kevin. Them, right, Kevin? They're worse. All right, so bring us up to speed here. So you did a lot of acting before The Walking Dead?
Yeah, I did. I did a lot of television, about 8 years. I did Supernatural, Vampire Diaries, Chuck, every genre you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And then was back in England for an Irish wedding in a castle in Dublin. And I had made a tape for The Walking Dead. Kind of thought nothing of it. I just thought, okay, great, made this tape. And then the next day when we were at the wedding, they were like, oh, can you make that tape again with more light? And I was like, oh, they must mean more levity. And they were like, no, more light. We just couldn't see
we couldn't
enough
see you.
The tape. We
really?
Needed to see you.
It was literally too dark.
It was literally too dark. And I was in this castle, so I had to sit by a window with like pillowcases as light reflectors and all this stuff. Made this tape, and then they booked it, and they like within 2 days, I was in Georgia.
Does it feel a lot?
Two days?
So exciting.
That's a hilarious story.
Does it feel like it's not as I don't know, as real if you're just making a videotape and sending it off as when you're sitting with people?
Yeah, it does in a way, because usually you'll make a tape and then you'll go through a process. You'll come and meet and you'll come in chemistry read. And they had said, we want you to come in chemistry read with Steven Yeun. Mm-hmm. And then I guess they just knew, or they just, you know.
2 days later, you were in Georgia.
2 days later, with the bag from the wedding. So I had two cocktail dresses.
Which is useful in this show.
Yeah, get a lot of use out of that.
Yeah, exactly.
See, this is what's so surprising to me, because they hired you basically off of a dialogue tape. But The Walking Dead. No, I'm saying you read lines, right? I mean, you did a script, I assume, in your tape, right?
Yes, yes.
But The Walking Dead seems like the type of show that you'd really need to see someone in person, because there's so much physicality to it. They would need to see you run and shoot and do all sorts of stuff like that, I would imagine. But I guess not.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they have some of the other stuff I've done was definitely gun wielding and active.
So they knew.
So they knew. And I guess my agent said, guys, she's got it. So,
And the other thing is, I mean, she is supposed to start out as just a normal person and progress to become who she is today.
Yeah.
That's true.
So she would have an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
So,
and that's totally what it feels like. Yes.
When you guys got together and you met all of your now wonderful co-stars, when you're making the pilot for The Walking Dead, did you have any idea how special this material was?
I had no idea whatsoever. I mean, I watched it on the plane on the way over. So I had booked the job, and then I was sitting on the plane, and I watched season one, because I come in season two, episode two. Mm-hmm. And I watched season one on the plane, and I was just like, oh my God, I'm such a fan of this, and now I'm going to be on it. So it was uber exciting.
Did it make you nervous? Did you go, whoa, this is a little better?
It's pretty intense.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah, I did get there and just think, don't this up.
Right.
But
thank
I don't know.
Thank you for self-editing. Appreciate it.
Yes. But it was great. And everybody's super welcoming. I mean, the story must get told a lot, but we have the best cast in the whole world. We literally, like, Andy Lincoln, Steven, Norman,
it really
Laurie.
Seems like everybody likes everybody else. We talk to a lot of people that just, they support their project, but they're not overwhelmingly, you know, in love with their castmates. This group seems like they really have a great, great time together.
Yeah, we do. And
except
we're,
for on screen.
Except for on screen.
On screen, it doesn't look like it's that much fun.
Yeah. And people say, how do you sort of, you know, shake off the torment of all the scenes and stuff you have to do? I said, but that's the scene. I shook it off. That was the scene.
Right.
And then after that, you just feel great. You just, you know, your life's just very light. So
I wonder if there's so much bonding because you're all together in that tiny town in Georgia. You're kind of like a jury that's sequestered from the rest of the world a little bit.
Yes, 100%. I mean, the first season that I was on there, I wanted to go all method with it. So I lived in Noonan, which is this very small town near where we shoot, as did a couple of the other cast members. And it was horrible. Everything's haunted.
It was awesome.
Everything's haunted. I stayed in this converted cotton mill, which is beautiful. And for the experience, actually being in a haunted place was cool. And I never believed in anything like this.
Explain haunted.
Cans going from one cupboard to another. Like,
no,
coming home,
come
and cupboards
on.
Being open. Feeling, I won't say who this was, but somebody else had this, like, they'd wake up and they'd feel the weight of someone lying on them. And we're all very cynical, so we're not, you know, I know how cockamamie it all sounds.
Okay, good.
Wait, so hold on. Cans moving from one cupboard to another cupboard.
Cans moving from one cupboard to another cupboard.
But wait, you never saw that. It just happened while you were gone?
It happened while I was gone. So okay. You'd have your one cupboard loaded with food and the other one would be empty. And then you'd come home and they'd all be in the other cupboard.
Oh, somebody's pranking God. You, though,
no.
Right?
Steven Yeun is in the other room going, you'll never believe it. We changed the cans to another cupboard.
No,
yeah,
that's got Carl's fingerprints all over it, Kevin.
It does sound like a Carl move, actually. And he can get through small spaces, that
yes,
child.
He can.
That doesn't seem like there's no reasonable explanation for that unless somebody's just
messing
playing
with you.
No, yeah. I want to believe the
believe?
Same thing. I want to believe. You know what? This is a touchy road, but I kind of do. Yeah.
All right,
now crazy. I do, but that's why.
So Lauren's gone bye bye.
Lauren's crazy.
Yeah, Lauren's gone bye bye.
Note to selves.
All right. Well, we want to talk about where we're at in The Walking Dead because we only have what, like four or five more episodes left, I imagine, in season.
We just started this.
I know.
Oh.
That's the trouble when they break them up 8 and 8. Is you do feel like you just get going and already the end is in sight, which is just tragic. Make more, Lauren, is what we're saying. Make more.
I'm going to tell them.
That'll solve the problem.
The season finale is the end of this month, Kevin. March 31st.
What?
I know. The Walking Dead airs Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. She plays Maggie Green. It is actress Lauren Cohen in studio with us here on The Kevin Abine Show, and we'll be right back after this on K-Rock. I know we talk about The Walking Dead a lot, Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. It's only because it's the best show on TV, you guys. And we couldn't be more excited to welcome Maggie from the show, actress Lauren Cohen, in studio with us here on The Kevin Abine Show, another new episode this week. And now, do I understand correctly that Rick and the governor finally meet up face-to-face this Sunday night? That's happening?
Yes, they do. I actually just saw the episode yesterday. It's great.
What
it's
happens?
Very scary. Yeah, exactly.
In the end.
Tell us everything.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty tense episode on Sunday.
They don't like each other, really? Is my sense.
You're saying that Walking Dead is going to be tense. Let me make a note.
Trying something new?
You know, I have friends that I got to watch this show, and they're like, I love this show, and I love you, but it makes me so stressed out.
Yeah, it does. It's all stressful.
Yeah.
How do you handle knowing more than everybody else around you that's not in the Walking Dead universe? How do you handle the spoiler alerts? I mean, people must bug you all the time, or I imagine sometimes you accidentally could say something that you're not supposed to, too, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's when you're doing like a press line, and you at the beginning of it, you're like, oh, okay, I can find this clever way of not saying anything. And then you get to the, kind of the seventh or the eighth person, and you get bored of your clever way of saying nothing, and you're like, I want to reveal, but I can't. So I think that's it. It's when you kind of lose the sense of it.
How far ahead are you? Are you finished with this season?
We finished. We actually shoot from May until mid-November.
Oh, really?
So we finished right about Thanksgiving time, and then we have to wait like the rest of you.
Your character Maggie's having a rough time right now.
Yeah, rough season.
Yeah, she's really been through a lot this season. It's been a really crazy journey from the beginning. Just kind of farm girl, somewhat stable life. Didn't know how far reaching this, you know, zombie apocalypse was, and how but I wouldn't have it any other way. Well, you know, I think it's realistic as to what would happen in the apocalypse,
right?
Especially all that stuff with the governor and I don't know. It's amazing how family gets so important and how this group becomes so important, and how their family and everything.
Do you agree with me that the family is one too many? That Carl must go.
Oh, Kevin, leave the kid alone.
I'm just asking.
No, I really don't. I hear people say sometimes about Carl being so precocious and all these things, and I actually think he is the most interesting character on the show. Maybe that's why he riles you up, because
the last episode started to turn me. I have to be honest. The last episode when he was with Michonne, first I thought she was going to off him because he was being a little dick as a teenager. You know, I'm going to go off and do my own thing. I don't need you. I'm going to ditch you.
She doesn't have time for that. Right, nobody got time for that.
Right. But then when he wanted the picture of his mom, then I was like, oh, well, that's kind of sweet now. So I'm not positive whether
That was a great episode because you saw the sense of humor in both of them,
right?
You know, Michonne's so steely, and then you see she pulls this really ugly cat thing out from behind her back, and you were just like, yeah, okay, this is great. The facade cracks.
Yes,
really,
exactly.
But I'm sure we were all troublesome teenagers.
Well,
right?
Yeah, of course.
But none of us tried to pull off that cowboy hat, though. That's the difference between us and Carl.
Oh, stop. I'm so protective of him.
That's what everyone says.
I know.
What about Herschel? How long can he make it on one? He's only got one
wheel.
That's
her dad. Come on.
He's only got one wheel. We've seen. This is really survival of the strongest. Honestly, I'm not trying to be funny now.
Yeah.
This is survival of the strongest. How long can you make it
on crutches, right?
I know. And actually, you're going to see in Sunday's episode some Herschel kind of is a part of the adventure. And it does show you how brave he is with just one leg, especially. I just cannot give any spoiler.
Just try.
And they cut the actor's leg off for real, though, on the show, right? Just to make it look good.
Yes, but Scott actually is very good at yoga, so he was able to retain his balance. He is famously really amazing at yoga, actually, Scott Wilson.
Is that right?
I mean,
really?
As well as being a legendary person and actor, he teaches. He was teaching Norman Reedus yoga on set.
That doesn't
really
seem right.
Something
that
you never. That sounded terrible.
I don't mean it sounded terrible. I just mean it just seems weird that Norman Reedus would be into yoga. Have you ever tried yoga?
Love yoga. Yeah.
As a typical
guy,
you know, yoga's nothing. It's stretching. It's easy. And then I tried it and I just felt like a fool. You know, because you look like an idiot. You can't get your
super
balance.
Hard.
It's really hard.
Yeah, you have to make some pretty strange shapes.
Yeah.
Tell me this, Lauren. You did a lot of shows with a lot of adventure type things prior to The Walking Dead. Had you ever been tortured before this season of The Walking Dead?
No, I hadn't. It was amazing.
One way to put it.
Yeah. It was the most uncomfortable moment in the history of the show, and it's also when the switch was flipped and we realized, as much as we tried to think that the governor was basically a good person, clearly he wasn't. That's when we realized he was just pure evil. And obviously we're very protective of, you know, our people on this show, so it was hard for us to watch you go through that. What was it like to shoot?
It was pretty awkward, but in a way that helped the scene. I hadn't obviously worked with David Morrissey before then, and he was still pretty new to the show then. So it was, you know, I got my kid off in front of everybody, and that's just what happened. But it all of that helps the fear of the scene and all of that. And
is kit the British word for clothing?
You guess it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just trying
also,
to keep up.
Also the British word for, like, your football kit or your, like, you know, your kit. Like that your sports thing.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
And Glenn will never recover from what happened to Maggie, right? I mean, he's got a burning intensity now that he is just not going to let go until somebody gets some revenge, right?
Maybe. You have to watch on Sunday.
What happens?
Well, I will. Don't worry. I'm watching. Are you on Talking Dead this Sunday night? Do I have that
I
right?
am. I
That's
am.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, with Eliza Dushku. And
it's not because you die, is it?
No.
Okay, good.
Maybe.
Sorry, that one you gave away. But I'm happy. I'm happy. I don't want you to die. Just call. Right.
No, I know. When Irony was on there, it was the saddest Talking Dead ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That was sad. Well, I mean, look, we just lost what's his face too? The Hick guy. We lost him a couple weeks
Lou
ago.
Lou Temple. I know, yeah. Axel. I know, that was so sad.
It's always tough to lose people on that show, but it's also, you know, it wouldn't be realistic if everybody lived to be 90 on that show when they're, you know, continuously fighting zombies. I mean, you're going to lose a few, right?
Yeah, you are going to lose a few. And I mean, at least he was the human shield for Carol in that moment.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he died honorably.
He didn't know he was going to be the human shield. But. All right.
He might have chosen, but.
Does it seem like a dream come true to be on a show that not only is so critically acclaimed, but it seems like every week it sets new cable records for number of people tuning in? I mean, nobody expects a show like this to be this popular. What's it like for you guys to see the numbers every week?
Well, it's great because my cousins think I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Like, literally, I have about 20 younger cousins, all from the age of 8 to 21.
Nice.
And they all just, it's actually so fun
Is there
to be
no
on a
birth
show
control in Britain?
I know. These ones are in Jersey, actually. No, it's a dream come true. It really is. And it's just like, I love watching the show. I love doing the show. I love the people I work with. And I just, you know.
Did you think it was limited in how big it could get because it's a super niche genre, sort of?
Definitely. And the amount of people who will come and say, you know, I never would have watched something with zombies, but my girlfriend was watching it. And that's the best one, actually, is when guys are like, my girlfriend got me into it. I mean, or grandparents are like, you know, my grandkids love this show, so we started watching it with them. And it becomes a family, like, it becomes a religious
And it's so gross.
Thing.
And it's just shocking because so I think I watched the first two episodes and kind of went, no.
Not for
and
me.
And then I went back, and now my boyfriend, I can't get him to watch it.
Because
I'm like, I love the show. It's so great.
What's wrong with your boyfriend?
Well, you know, everybody's got their cutoff.
Well, none of us like gross, but this is so, so tense and exciting.
He just takes it in too much. He feels too much.
Yeah, last week when Andrea was cutting the jaw out of the zombie, that was cutting.
That was rough.
Mash, that was pretty, really that was hard for me to watch that one.
Yeah. Every time Michonne kills a zombie, every single time, it's right through the forehead, and you just go, oh!
Yeah, I know.
She's so good with that katana.
Yes, she is.
You won't find bigger fans, Lauren, of The Walking Dead. I know you meet them all day, every day, but seriously, we're so honored to have you on the show today. We really, really enjoyed talking to you. We're very, very excited about however many episodes we've got left in Season 3. Believe me, we're going to be hanging on to every word. So thank you so much for coming in. Continued success. I hope we can do it again sometime.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet.
Ralph, is Kevin not playing the stuff we need when we need him to play it, but then he's playing the stuff we don't need when we don't need him to play it? Is that what's happening today?
It's soundbite roulette with Kevin. He just spins a wheel and then he pulls the trigger and, you know.
Nobody notices the 100 times I do it right.
And then said one a doctor who lost another patient.
Not in a row.
All right. Zach Braff is in the next room, you guys. He's going to be joining us right after the top of the hour from the Oz Great and Powerful. We love this guy. So that's on the way. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. A guy we don't love quite so much, but let's hear what he's got to say.
It's just my conditioning, but every time I hear the name Zach Braff, I keep flashing to years ago on the red carpet with Joan Rivers, which she used to cover for E, remember?
Me too.
And Zach was coming down the red carpet, and someone whispered in her ear, one of producers or something, oh, it's Zach Braff, Zach Braff. And she said, so, Jack Fraff, how are you doing?
Because she had no idea who he was, right?
She had no idea. I just remember Jack Fraff just being like a name. You know, I had to use that name someday. I'm going to check in a hotel someday as Jack Fraff. It's just no one's ever been named
Fraff
that.
Will be here in a minute.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. up at the John Lovitz Comedy Club and Podcast Theater at the Universal City Walk, Kevin Smith and I will be doing our Hollywood Babylon show, as we do almost each and every week. Love to have you come out and see us. We're going to be a particularly good show, I'm predicting, this weekend.
The Bible's again it. God's again it.
No, God's not again it.
I'm again it. And if you've got any sense, you're again it.
No one's again it. We had to take last weekend off, so we're backed up.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't want to be backed up.
No, we have to bleed the brake lines, or else we're going to explode. So come see us at 8 o'clock tomorrow
night. That is not a good visual.
You can go to the JohnLovitzClub.com website, or see Smod, SEESMOD.com for details and for tickets.
I'd rather die.
Oh, come on! Prince is bad. Not as a musician, but I think as a person.
Oh, tell me more.
Why this time?
He was on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, and he was playing a guitar, a 61 Epiphone Crestwood. That's a really sweet guitar. He was playing a guitar on the show, and after his second number, he tossed the guitar in the air, and just let it drop. Let it just crash to the ground. Very dramatic, very intense. It shattered. It looked very cool. Only problem? Not his guitar.
What?
He had borrowed the guitar from Captain Kirk Douglas from the show's house band, The Roots.
Oh, are you kidding?
He said, oh, it's a great guitar. Can I play it? And he said, sure. He lent it to him, and then he destroyed it during the set.
That's weird.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a dick move.
To make it worse, Prince refused to sign the wrecked guitar for Kirk after it was over. Kirk had the kind and was a good sport enough to say, oh, you know what? Okay, could you just autograph this for me? And he refused.
What?
Really?
Yeah. Kirk since has tweeted that Prince apologized after the fact and then made arrangements to have the guitar repaired. So I'm sure it'll be just as good as new.
What an angry little midget he is.
So one thing I know about guitars is you can just tape them right up and they just play exactly
little
the
duct
same.
Duct tape.
Yeah. Doesn't change the sound at all.
No, is it just me, or is this guy a little bit of a dick?
Jennifer Lawrence is in the news. Turns out she wasn't always the popular, confident superstar we see before us today. She was bullied as a child. She actually had to change schools due to Mean Girls, she says.
The movie?
The actual girls who were mean to her in school. One young lady that tortured Jen was handing out party invitations, but didn't include Jen. She was, like, purposely going around handing out invitations to people and skipped over Jen. So Jen said she got her revenge by hawking a loogie on them and throwing them away. Okay. I don't think I'd want to cross Jennifer Lawrence. She seems like a handful.
Like all hot girls, she's a nightmare.
Yeah. Advice to women everywhere, Jennifer says, don't worry about the bitches.
That's right.
That is good advice right there. You guys remember Kevin Sorbo, who played Hercules on television?
Nope.
He was on Today Show this week, and you don't remember? You don't remember Hercules? He was on Today Show this week, and people were wondering whatever happened to him, why he was out of the limelight for a number of years after his success in the late 90s. Turns out he had an aneurysm in his shoulder and nearly died from a series of horrible strokes.
Wow.
He suffered numerous blood clots because of the condition, and he had to learn how to walk again.
Dude.
Recovery process took 3 or 4 years, and he's written a book about it, apparently, and that's why he's back in the public eye. But
3 or 4 years?
Yeah. Wow. It was a devastating series of strokes that took him out of the situation.
That's how I think Beer Mug's going to go.
but those will be deadly, though, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Just I think extreme diabetes is going to lead to strokes, and I think he's going to be paralyzed or something. He'll still eat. I mean,
we'll take him 3 or 4 years to learn how to eat again.
He just won't be able to walk. That's all. He can barely stand now.
And this is great news. George Lucas himself
told Bloomberg Businessweek this week that they have already signed Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford for the return of Star Wars in a couple years. When that new film comes out, each of them will, in fact, be appearing. So the rumors have been confirmed by none other than George Lucas himself. We will get Leia and Han and Luke back in the Star Wars universe, which I think is good news.
But not Lucas, right?
And Lucas is out.
Okay.
Yeah, he is out, which is even better news.
Checking, yeah.
It's better news than the first news. And I don't know if you know this or not, Kevin, but the Beatles are very popular. The Beatles,
I've heard
the
that.
Band The Beatles are
I've
very popular.
I've been told that.
There's actual new Beatle news. Sir Paul McCartney has announced he is releasing a new vinyl record to celebrate Record Store Day. On April 12th, he will be releasing a limited edition 12-inch vinyl EP of the live version of Maybe I'm Amazed.
Open up a blog.
His first, perhaps, solo hit. So that'll be available on Record Store Day. That's our Record Store Day guy.
Yeah. Beans sure begged is. Us to talk to that guy for Record Store Day. Remember that?
He was like,
such a dick.
It's Record Store Day. This would be awesome to talk to this guy.
And we had no way of knowing this. He was a complete dick.
A rude,
he was mad
smug
at us for wanting
dick.
To talk to him about his holiday.
Open up a blog.
If you want to learn about it, open up a blog. Right. Why we're talking to you to learn about it, smug record guy. This is why record stores are closing, because people who work in them are dicks.
That guy was.
However, Record Store Day really has helped, because look at every day now you see a new record store opening up on the street corner everywhere. It's like Starbucks.
I haven't seen
everywhere
that.
You turn, there's a new record store. Can't hey, get enough record stores.
Hey, hey Ralph, there's yeah. just Amoeba and all the others have closed.
Oh, okay, that's
there's
right.
There's just one now.
That's what I meant to say.
Open up a blog.
And the Grammy Museum has announced they're doing a new exhibit focused solely on Ringo Starr.
What?
Grammy Museum downtown. They're going to do a special Ringo Starr exhibit.
What?
They're going to have the drums Ringo played on the Ed Sullivan Show when the Beatles
started. You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
The jacket he wore on the rooftop of their final live appearance in London. And his Sgt. Pepper outfit.
So they could not get any of the stuff from the other Beatles?
Nope. Ringo keeps knocking on their door. He's got like one of those giant Tupperware containers full of his stuff, and he keeps banging on the door of the Grammy Museum. They finally had to let him in and set stuff up, because they will also have Ringo in a glass case there, apparently.
Oh, that's nice.
He's got nothing else going on. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kat Von T of Kat Von D. Kat Von T is her sister, who's also a very talented tattoo artist. Kat Von D is 31. We did get some confirmation they're still dating. We had a little controversy.
Good.
Dead Mouse and Kat Von
okay,
D still happily together. Andy Ross of OK Go is 34, as is singer Tom Chaplin of Keen. James Vanderbeek from Dawson's Creek and Don't Trust the Bee, the short-lived Don't Trust the Bee, 36 years old. Freddie Prinze Jr. celebrates his 37th birthday. And actress Cameron Manheim from The Practice and Ghost Whisperer and Harry's Law. She is 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
To answer your question, Zach Braff, that is a band called Atlas Genius, and their song is called Trojans. That is very nice, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I liked it. I liked it. I liked it. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Zach Braff from Oz the Great and Powerful joining us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have been a fan long time, him, but I think this is the first time you have ever visited us here.
I may
Kevin
have
Bean
called
Show.
In, but this is the first time I've been to your luxurious studio and learned that you're not even here.
Yeah. Well, we are super, super flattered. And I have to bring up, we have so much ground we want to cover in the time that we have with you.
All right,
the
let's
other
dive
night,
in.
You were on with your friend Craig Ferguson on the TV because you're doing the promotional rounds for the
yeah.
Oz movie that comes
yeah.
out everywhere today. And I had no idea that you were even a child actor, first of all.
Yeah.
But tell the kids who
not
may
a very,
not have...
Not a very successful one, but go on.
Tell the kids who may not have seen that episode with Uncle Craig the other night about the show that you two did together that you discussed on the program that evening.
My first gig was at 14 years old. It was a pilot for CBS, and it was a kid. It was the year 90210, Beverly Hills 90210 came out. Sorry if I lost my voice. I have a little bit cold. But it was the year Beverly Hills 90210 came out, and it was supposed to be like the rough answer to 90210, like a tough school in New Jersey and you know. And it was Gwyneth Paltrow's first gig. She was 17 years old. I was 14. And Craig
wow.
Ferguson was the kind of cool Scottish teacher. it didn't get picked up. And I didn't understand at 14 that it didn't get picked up. I thought that I got a big job, and I thought I was going to be a big fancy actor. it would take
back then, you thought that's how it works. You make a pilot, they like it, they put you on TV, and all of a sudden you're Brandon Walsh, right?
Yes, that's what I thought, I thought happened. I remember being in like Israel a year later, and I saw like Gabrielle Kataris chewing gum, and I I was like, oh, that's, I was on the wrong show. For those of you who don't remember, she was one of the girls on 90210. Yes. Sorry.
Right. Were you, was it tough sledding for you in the early days? Did it take a while for you to get on a show that that worked?
Well, yeah, Scrubs. I mean, I my first audition was roughly around when I was 13, and I didn't get Scrubs till I was 25. I mean, I got little things in between.
You got just enough to keep you going.
Yeah, I mean, but no, I mean, enough to make me go, should I be doing this? What the hell am I doing? And I took 4 years off to go to college and go to film school because I knew I wanted to make movies eventually. Yeah, I didn't have much success early on.
Isn't that something? And that's a very typical story of people in your business too, right?
Well, it's funny. A lot of times when people break and get known, everyone thinks, oh, you know, success overnight. They don't know that, no, I've actually been at, I was, you know, going on like commercial auditions when I was 13 and not getting anything for a long time.
And did you know when you got Scrubs, this one's going to make it? Or was it just another audition for just another pilot that may or may not go?
You can't have thought that. That show is too out there.
Yeah. I think I'd been burned enough that I didn't know. And I thought it was really funny. I knew we were laughing our asses off. You know, Bill Lawrence, who created it, was, you know, was a hot showrunner, and you know, because he had created Spin City, and I knew that that helped. But we had, you know, you never have any idea. I knew I was a waiter, so all I knew was that I was living so frugally that the money I made off this pilot, I could live for like a year and a half off.
Nice.
And I quit my waiting tables job the second I got the pilot, and my parents were in a panic. They're like, what did you do? Why did you, you know, who knows if it's going to go? And I was like, no, you don't understand. This money to me, I can eat tuna fish sandwiches
for
and,
a couple of years.
I'm fine for a year and a half.
Did you quit in a way that you really wanted to quit, or were you nice because you might have to go back?
I had a great manager. Okay. When I got the pilot, I called my mom, I called my dad, and then I called the manager of the restaurant, and I said I quit. And she said, oh my God, I'm so happy for you, but you have to work tonight because we don't have anyone. And so I went in, and I got just hammered, and everyone was like, waiter, and I was like, you calm down.
I got a gig.
You take your time. I'm on TV now.
So Scrubs was on for 10 years, but it seems to me like the kind of show that will always be on. In other words, it seems like one of those shows that went to syndication immediately and has been a big hit in syndication to the point where it'll never go off the air again.
It's had the rare thing, and I think it's new because it's one of the first ones to syndicate in the middle of all this crazy internet stuff, right, and iTunes and all that, where it's had a second life. So a lot of times a show goes to syndication, it has a nice run, and then it disappears.
It wanes as it goes.
Yes, and Scrubs has been one of these first shows that has kind of grown in a weird way. I mean, a new generation of younger kids have found it, and it's on their iPads, and it's on their iPhones, and it's on, you know, it's everywhere. So it continues to find a new audience.
It's how I taught my kids about gayness.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
You know your character. Come on now.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. Well,
he was about to jump over the board and hit me, I think.
No, one second. I didn't. That's too early. I didn't know what you were talking about.
I didn't either. Don't feel bad.
All right.
We're used to not knowing what Kevin's talking about.
But no, so it's that weird thing where it's like, you know, now because of all these devices and new ways. And you know, my point is a generation of kids have now found it that weren't watching it when it was originally aired.
Yeah. How did you find the time while you were making Scrubs to finally get that movie that you always wanted to make made?
Well, I was so dying to make a film that I had the script kind of ready to go. And I, when I got Scrubs, I thought, oh, well, this is my chance. And so I hustled and, you know, parlayed it into trying to get it made. Of course, everyone in town passed on Garden State. Over and over and over and over again.
That's always fascinating to me. A movie that's that solid beginning to end doesn't make any difference. People will just pass on it because why?
There's no one in this town with a phone and a desk that didn't pass on Garden State.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah.
Why? But look, you're a show business veteran now, Zach.
Yes.
Why? I mean, the words were on the page. Anyone could read that script and see that it was going to be a good movie. What's going on?
There's story after story of that. I mean, who's ever listening, some of your favorite movies were passed on multiple times. And, what's her name? Harry Potter woman.
Yeah.
She lived in her car. I mean, now she's a zillionaire.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Hey, everyone passed on the Beatles. You know, there was 11 record companies at the time or something who all said, nope, don't think this band's going to make it. I mean, you're right. In retrospect, it's easy to see, but I don't understand.
You know, they didn't. Garden State isn't a traditional script in terms of its structure. It doesn't really, you know, scripts are supposed to follow a traditional three-act structure. With anyone who takes a screenwriting class, there's lots of rules, and this is supposed to happen by this page. And, you know, in my movie where the third act should go, they go off on this random quest for a piece of jewelry that has never been brought up in the rest of the movie. And, you know, and a lot of times the gatekeepers are people that go, wait a minute, it's page 45 and this hasn't happened. So fail.
And why are we spending so much time in the pet cemetery? What's happening?
Exactly. And
is it the assistants to the people who throw them out before they get there? Or is it
there's
the
a lot
people?
Of gatekeepers and there's just, you know, I think, you know. For example, a script is supposed to be a page a minute, right? So a script shouldn't be long. You know, they want it to be under 120 pages. If you hand in a script that's 121 pages, I can guarantee you 100% your first note will be it's too long.
Really?
And it's like sometimes it's like, well, there's a lot of description that I couldn't cut out because it's so specific. But I promise you when I shoot it, this is just a quick example. I promise you when I shoot it, it'll be faster. But because it's so intricate, I really have to kind of write a long description. But so that's what I mean. It's, there's so many specific rules. And also, you know, obviously I was untested. I'd only gone to film school and had film school movies to show for it. Mm-hmm. I was a guy on a TV show. They didn't know I could pull it off. Everybody passed on it. It wasn't until a guy in the mortgage business took a risk on me and said, hey, we had a budget for $6 million, and he was going to split it with a small studio. And then he wasn't in the film business. And as a very successful mortgage broker, he said, can I tell you, this is the worst business plan I've ever seen. I don't understand how Hollywood works. But is there any way you could make this for $3 million? Because if you can, I'll just pay for the whole thing myself. And ultimately, that's what we did.
Wow.
And he reaped all the benefits.
That's amazing.
What's shocking to me, and I know we have to take a break with our guest is Zach Braff here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. What's shocking to me, I understand that story and it's frustrating, and in retrospect, there are a lot of people who are hitting their heads against the wall that they let Garden State slip through their fingers. But you're kind of in the same boat now with a track record of a successful movie. Now you've got another movie, and I understand you're still having trouble finding people to put up the money.
Yeah, well, look, if I wanted to, you know, first of all, it only matters what you did last week. And, you know, I had a big hit with Garden State, and then I went but I was contractually obligated to do the show for 9 years. So, I couldn't.
So you couldn't make another movie, right?
I could. And also, you know, if you have a hit, anyone in Hollywood will tell you this, they then want you to go remake that movie over and over again. I literally, not exaggerating, got handed scripts with people who had epiphanies after almost being in plane crashes and going home for their father's funeral. I mean, I got like three of those. And of course, big studio romantic comedies, the kind we all roll our eyes when we see the trailer for them.
Right.
So I didn't want to do that. And the new things that I was coming up with were just as eccentric and different that Garden State was. So it was newly fresh with them going, nah, not that, not
it's
that.
It's going to be really
frustrating. What about another romantic comedy with Natalie Portman? And I'm like, we don't want to do that.
So Garden State, Garden Harder, which I know is your joke, that's never going to happen.
Garden Harder is never going to come.
All right.
I did a Reddit Ask Me Anything yesterday, and people were riffing on sequel names, and mine was This Time It's Personal.
Well, I know that I don't understand Hollywood, but I do understand that Oz the Great and Powerful is in theaters everywhere today, and Zach Braff plays a talking monkey or some BS. I don't know. We'll talk to him about that when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Actor Zach Braff in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is one of the all-star cast in Oz the Great and Powerful. I'm sorry, Zach. I'm sure you're great in the movie, but there's so many hot chicks in this film.
I know.
Seriously. It's ridiculous,
it's all
right?
Hot chicks all the time.
Mila
Kunis.
Ridiculous.
The hottest girl in the universe.
Hottest girl in the universe. Yeah. I think she might be.
Michelle Williams, who's a tied. Let's maybe be. Right. Let me not put my foot in my mouth. and the beautiful Rachel Weisz.
Come on.
Is that the hot girl bell?
Yeah. That's okay. The hot girl bell. It's exactly
You might
what
want
it
to
is.
Bring it to the theater because they're all in really sexy outfits being sexy witches.
I don't think we need Bean ringing a bell at a theater.
Tell me, Zach, that you saw the interview that went viral this week that Mila did promoting the movie with that young man for BBC Radio.
Yeah, it was funny. It showed what a sweet chick she is. She put up with him. He was like so inept.
but she's somehow, I mean, she's a big movie star and is so beautiful and completely out of all of our reaches, yet she somehow made him feel like he had a chance. And that was just like the, I don't know, was that super kind or really cruel when he goes home and puts it together that it's not happening?
She's a really sweet girl. And just to drive like the video game nuts even more crazy, she's like a big gamer. Like she got super into like World of Warcraft. She had to like, stop playing video games because she got like addicted to them. She is pretty much every guy's a dream.
So tell me about you in the movie.
Every guy's dream.
You are. You have a role. You have an acting role, and you also are the voice of the monkey, right? You do both.
Well, I it's kind of like Gollum in that I fully acted out this monkey role on set, interacting with all the actors, and then they videotaped my performance, and then the animators animated in the monkey.
Have you ever been a monkey before?
No, my first monkey role.
Do you have to exaggerate your emotions as a human?
No, you just acted. I mean, I'm literally like he's 36 inches tall, so I'm literally like in a blue screen onesie, little blue screen pajamas.
Love it.
And like, you know, on the ground, acting it all out, talking to them, and they have these video cameras all around me, and then they edit that together, and then the computer animators animate
that's
from that.
So weird.
And then they paint me out and replace me with this fully realized monkey.
But it would be all your expressions and stuff.
All my expressions, all my jokes. I mean,
recognize your face?
In the eyes, you know, he's a monkey, right. So I don't look too much like a monkey. But people tell me that when they see it in the eyes, they can see a little bit of my
eyes.
That's
so interesting.
Yeah.
That's a weird process, and it's new, isn't it?
It's new, and it's really cool because, you know, as CG takes over, directors like Sam Raimi, who directed this movie, made all the Spider-Man movies and Drag Me to Hell, and of course, you know, is like a master of horror. He wants there to be an actor there, not just some computer program, you know. Mm-hmm. So his whole thing is like he wants an actor connection. He wanted Franco and I to be riffing and improvising and then replace it later with an animated creature.
What was his pitch to you for this character? Did he say we want to animate you, but we want you to act in a onesie? How did he pitch it to you?
Well, as an actor,
I want to see you in your pajamas, Zach.
As an actor, when you get the call, Sam Raimi wants to meet you in his office, it's a good call to get.
Yeah,
so
you just go, okay.
I was like, sure, there. And and we just, you know, clicked. He wanted me to just kind of be comic relief and to riff jokes. And I guess him and his kids were big fans of Garden State and Scrubs. And they were, I think, my biggest champions. And that's what he wanted. He wanted someone that could improv and kind of, you know, help create the character. Because the character wasn't fully fleshed out. They knew he wanted to be kind of the comic relief, but they hadn't figured him out yet.
I get you're doing your actor bit on set. You want to, you know, make your director happy. But in the back of Zach Braff's mind, there has to be, I'm a director also. Could you even imagine doing what Sam Raimi does in a film like this?
Man.
Or is he just like, he's playing Major League Ball and you're still T-ball, right?
Dude, this is the analogy. Garden State was a kayak and this is a giant cruise ship. this is the, you know, major, major boat. This is filmmaking on the grandest scale. People have to understand, this is like a picture Avatar, the next step. This is about as big as movie making gets. If you have a 3D theater near you, you got to see it in 3D. It's sick 3D. The visuals, the hot girls, the eye candy alone. And obviously it's Disney, so it's a full family fair. But I mean, the visuals are just it's drop jaw beautiful.
What was your thought on 3D before you made this movie?
I never really liked 3D, and Avatar was the first movie I liked 3D. I thought, they've kind of brought it to the next. James Cameron.
There's a reason for it in that one, right?
Yeah, and they sort of brought it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then actually Sam Raimi did research because he never loved 3D, and he figured out that some people weren't liking 3D because it was giving them a headache, and they realized, why was it giving them a headache? Because you're asking your eyes to do two different things. And if you use two extremes too quickly, people start to get headaches. So they started to do research on why some people weren't loving 3D. And then they addressed that in this movie.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. So they don't make any sudden movements in and out. That's the
thing. They did scientific research because basically when you do 3D, what you're doing is you're tricking your brain. So it's two different cameras for each eye. And then they're offset.
which plays a magic trick on your brain and creates that illusion. Well, if you do two extremes too quickly, or it's too far in the background and then too close, too much, all of a sudden your brain is like, F you, man. I'm tired.
The film we're talking about is called Oz the Great and Powerful. It opens up everywhere today, directed by Sam Raimi. Our guest is Zach Braff. Zach has generously agreed to stick around for one more, Kevin. So
I'm
we'll
having fun, so I don't want to leave.
Quick break and come right back after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Sounds like diarrhea to me.
K-Rock.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:39.
Zach Braff in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oz the Great and Powerful is the movie. Zach, you were one of the very first celebrities I ever remember joining Twitter. Were you there at the very beginning?
No. I got in early on Facebook and MySpace, but Twitter, I was a little late to the party. But now I'm having a blast on it.
So if you're listening,
follow me. I'm sometimes funny.
At Zach Braff. I have an Oz the Great and Powerful question. Yeah. This, because I'm a little bit confused about this. So this is a prequel to the famous Wizard of Oz movie.
Yes.
Is it, in fact, based on an earlier book in that series
by the same
author?
This is what I learned that most people don't know. The Wizard of Oz was the first book, right? Well, there's 14 books.
Wow.
So the idea was, hey, we're not going to remake everyone's favorite beloved classic, because that's insane. But the world is so cool. The technology we have is so amazing today. Let's go revisit the world and tell an origin story. So we all know at the end of The Wizard of Oz, he pulls back the curtain. There's this old guy there, right? It's not a crazy wizard. It's a normal human being.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, if you haven't seen the 1939 movie.
I'm 70 years behind on my Netflix queue.
Anyway, so the idea was, let's tell his story. How did that guy get there? You know, so James Franco plays him as a young man and tells how he ended up in this wacky world. What was it like when the witches were all young and hot babes, and so it's the same world, but it's sort of an origin story for the wizard.
And Franco, he's a weirdo, right?
No, Franco's awesome. Franco's really, you know,
he can be a weirdo and awesome.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm a weirdo and awesome. No. Franco is genuinely a really eccentric guy. And, you know, I always hate it when you meet an eccentric person, you're like, this person's putting it on.
Right.
This is like, oh, they're trying to be a wacky, you know, we all know those people.
Yeah.
He genuinely is an eccentric, interesting guy. And he's very, very smart. And sometimes people don't get that. But I really, we bonded. I really like him a lot.
And he's a Renaissance man, I guess, is what the polite way to say is a guy who has no focus and can't ever finish a project. But
he does like a zillion projects a week. I mean, we would finish,
really?
we would like wrap at like midnight and he would leave and go work on a project with his class or his team. I mean, I don't know. He doesn't sleep. One thing about him is he genuinely like operates on like 3 hours sleep.
Oh my
so
God.
He's over here painting and then he's over there sculpting and then he's over there photographing.
Literally, there were times when I walked in his trailer to hang out and he had like an apron on painting. I think I'm kidding. I'm not.
Sounds like a porn.
The beginning of a gay porno.
Right.
There are some people, you're right, though, who just are genuinely like that. David Lynch is one of those guys who's not faking it. He really is that bizarre, right?
I remember guys from college that you, at first you were like, is this an act? Are you on drugs? Like, what's your thing? And then you realize, these are, you know, really creative people. I think that some of the great artists out there are people who are pretty, you know. Van Gogh cut off his ear, for God's sake.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, right.
But usually people like that, if James is truly that way, usually they get that beaten out of them by the time they graduate.
I think with James, he was on that. He was on.
Hit a button.
We hit a button.
Sorry, it happens.
No problem.
He called BS.
And he called BS on it and said, "Wait, that I'm not going to get on the conveyor belt. I want to
be in General Hospital.
Yeah, I want to. Well, I mean, I want to go outside the box. I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, I'm maybe not as eccentric as James, but there's so much I want to do. I want to do these little movies. I want to do lots of different projects that aren't what you're supposed to do and get on the conveyor belt and be like, oh, this movie, and then I have to do this and just trying to forge an original career, you know.
I bet you can't get Natalie Portman on the phone anymore, right? Now that she's a big-time movie star with an Oscar?
Probably if I tried hard, but I haven't spoken to her in a while.
You don't want to try that hard in case it's too hard?
No, you don't want to. You know, it's like anything. You don't want the rejection, so it's like, you don't want to try.
What can you tell us, Zach? We talked very briefly earlier about this new film that you have written that you want to make, and the only thing I've heard is that it's called Alas. Can you tell us anything about what you hope it will be?
You heard it was called what?
Alas? Is that not right?
No, that's wrong. That's your previous guest, maybe.
No, it's called Wish I Was Here, and we're developing it right now, and I'm finally going to direct another movie. That's the exciting thing. So I'm hoping to make it this summer if the stars align like it seems like they're gonna.
The Can stars in the sky or the stars?
I can't talk about it in detail yet because it's still top secret. But soon, once a couple more puzzle pieces fall into place.
But it is true that Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Carrie Fisher are going to be in it. That's or am I thinking of another movie? Am I confused about another film that's in the pipeline?
J.J. Abrams Star Wars movie. Right. Yeah, you're getting confused.
Very different.
That's the movie, alas.
All right. You know, by the way, it really did come in from Movie Fanatic. That's where the it quote did. Comes from. I have a new script called Alas.
I'm going to tell you something because I like you. There's a lot of stuff on the internet that is not true.
What?
Yes.
What?
I don't want you to panic, but there's stuff on
there
the internet.
There be a disclaimer on my browser that tells me that?
I've been dead. I've come out of the closet. A lot's happened to me on the internet. So.
You've had a hell of a life on the internet.
I have. You know, when I first got in the public eye, all these rumors, you know, whatever they were coming out saying, I was with this girl or that girl, and I started to be like, I turned to my friends, I was like, I wish I was living the life they say that I'm living because that girl's so hot. I wish I was hanging out with her.
Well, it really does look like a magnificent movie, this Oz Great and Powerful. I mean, just seeing it on my TV, which is not in 3D, and watching in the trailer when it goes from the black and white to the color, which is the great homage to the Wizard of Oz movie. I mean, it just looks spectacular.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful. And if you can get a chance to see it in 3D, what's cool is not only when it goes just like as an homage to the original from black and white to color, does the screen get wide and change color, but the 3D all of a sudden gets super deep. So it's like,
that's cool.
It transitions in a really three-dimensional way, literally.
Wow, it sounds awesome. And, of course, Sam Raimi, you know, he doesn't make junk, so it's definitely worth checking out. Yeah. James Franco, Mila Kunis, Rachel Weisz, Michelle Williams, and, of course, our new friend Zach Braff, who I hope you will come back and see us if you have the opportunity at some point. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Thank you.
That was super fun talking to Zach Braff. I'm such a big fan of his. It was really enjoyable for me to have him come in today.
Jack Fraff.
Jack Fraff. That's true. A lot of fun. Russell Hornsby joins us after the top of the hour. He's on NBC's Grimm, Don't You Know. That's on the way. Plus, we got tickets for you that you can win to join us on April Foolishness 2013 night, which is April 6th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Tickets, again, I remind you, are going on sale today at noon if you want to see a great night of comedy for some great local charities. Details at krock.com. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Quick heads up before you party this weekend. Don't forget, Daylight Savings Time is coming up. So
that's right, Daylight Savings Time.
You need to put that clock head saving. Hour fall. Fall no back, S. Spring forward. We're in spring now, so we're going to go forward.
No S. Just saving.
Daylight savings time. So.
Saving.
Tomorrow night, right?
Saving. Sunday, right?
Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Yes,
okay. Saturday night, Sunday morning. So.
Beans and daylight savings at all.
Come on.
Spend that extra hour you lose.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
It doesn't work that way.
Make the hour you're losing worth losing. Saturday night, come see me and Kevin Smith doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the John Lovitz Comedy Club and Podcast Theater up at Universal City Walk, 8 p.m. tomorrow night. Smith and I will be doing that voodoo we do so well. You can go to CSMOD, CSMOD.com for more details and to get your tickets.
That's just before daylight savings kicks in, right?
That's right.
Saving.
So
right, saving.
You're going to lose an hour. You'll have fond memories of that hour because you'll have spent it with a drunk and a stoner talking about people in show business.
But this is America. I want it now.
Well, you can't have it now, but I'll give you a little taste with the showbiz beat. Like this fact, Kim Kardashian, as I mentioned, porn star Kim Kardashian, was, as I mentioned, Tuesday taken to the hospital because she was in tears, fearing she was suffering a miscarriage. She was in pain, having just jetted back from a fashion show in Paris. This, of course, shortly after she was in Rio de Janeiro house hunting with Kanye West. And
maybe
partying and on the red carpet. Well, Kevin, that
a
would...
bit.
That would... Why? You know, you don't want her to act like she's a woman who's 4 months pregnant. Oh, wait a minute. That's what she is.
Maybe she should slow down a bit.
Now we're finding out from various sources connected to the family that she is freaking out about how her body is changing, and that's one of the reasons she's sort of living in denial regarding how she has to behave as a pregnant woman. They say not only has she increased her workout, she has two different trainers now that she's been working with. She is hanging old pictures of her in a bikini on her fridge to remind her how she used to look.
God.
But she's wearing Spanx.
Oh, no.
Yes. Spanx, for those of you who don't know, is the very restrictive girdle-type garment that a lot of women wear when they have a bulge or two to hide. So she's been wrapping her pregnant belly in restrictive elastic.
That seems not advisable.
Well, doctors would say, I think, 4 out of 5 doctors would say, don't wrap your fetus in elastic, I think they would say. Yeah.
Wow.
What a shock. She can't even do this right. All she had to do was just get knocked up and have a baby. Women do it every day.
That's right. Yeah.
But she's effing with this system as well. Ah, The Walking Dead, very popular TV show. Of course, we had Lauren Cohen earlier today from that program. Well, if you love The Walking Dead like we do here on The Kevin and Bean Show, now you can wear the new zombie-inspired fragrances by a company called Demeter. New zombie perfumes.
What?
What's...
Zombie for her, zombie for him, they're called.
Yes, Larry?
What's with the zombies?
Yeah. Well, turns out you can smell like one now.
Nope.
You know what's going on? Your mother already
does. Why would you want to?
Because
it's a terrible idea. Even if you love the show like we do.
Here are what the smell is like, according to some of their testers. It smells like dirt. Dirt you've been buried in, said one person. Another sampler said, it smells like a bag of grass, but not in the nice summery way. It smells like the potpourri your grandmother would have in her bathroom. Another,
not interested.
Another tester said, I imagine this is what a happy Disney zombie would smell like. And lastly, not nearly as undead as I would have expected, said one consumer. So, take it for what it's worth. We've been talking for some time about this Eddie Murphy produced and starring a TV sequel to Beverly Hills Cop, the new Beverly Hills Cop TV series. Eddie Murphy will reprise his role as Axel Foley, but now he's the chief of police in Detroit, and it's his son who goes to Beverly Hills to be a cop. Eddie will appear sporadically through the show. He is the creator and producer of the show as well, but now they just added another alumnus of the Beverly Hills Cop movies, Judge Reinhold.
All right, listen up.
No kidding.
I don't like white people.
That is from...
48 hours?
48 hours.
Eddie Murphy, though.
A clip from 48 hours.
You have a very big mouth, sir.
Billy Rosewood was the character that Judge Reinhold played in that show, and now he's coming back. He'll be starring in the series as well. So, good news for the cast. Beverly Hills Cop, they're getting a little work.
Yeah.
All right.
I wonder if John Ashton is still around. He was the guy who played the gruff.
Oh, the fat guy?
Yeah, the fat guy that used to work with Eddie Murphy.
He's funny.
Funny actor. Sofia Vergara has just been cast in a new film while we're talking about casting. She will be starring with Jason Statham in an upcoming film called Heat. This is a remake of the Burt Reynolds film of the same name from 1986 about a recovering gambler turned hired bodyguard working in Vegas who decides to help a friend after she is attacked by the mob.
Boobs.
Screenwriter William Goldman wrote the original film. Apparently he is writing this version as well. Burt Reynolds is hard to remember. There was a time when he was the biggest movie star in the world. But this is one of my favorite films of his. It's really a nice, gritty, sort of down and out gangster type film. So, looking forward to seeing that. And Chris Brown is still a douchebag.
There's a headline.
He may be back together with his girlfriend Rihanna, and she may be singing his praises, but all you need to do is follow the guy around long enough, and you'll see him being an asshole again. This time, it was at a charity event on Wednesday night at a bowling alley in Studio City, California. I'm guessing it's got to be Pins there, right?
Yeah.
By Jerry's Deli, right on the Ventura.
It was a charity event?
Yes.
Come on.
He was leaving the event. It was time to get his car, and the car valet brought his car around and said it was $10, please. Well, that's when this happened.
Give me $10. $10. Give me my keys.
Let's go.
We gonna turn this whole spot up.
We got it right here.
Yeah.
That's the security guard just grabbing his keys?
Yeah, Chris grabbed the keys, hopped in the car, and took off. Did not pay the poor valet his $10. But on the upside, he didn't F the valet up like he said he was going to, nor did he turn this whole spot up, down,
up,
whatever he was going to do to it. Yeah. So luckily the valet and the bowling alley escaped unscathed from a meeting with Chris Brown. What are you bullying a valet for? Really?
Right. At a charity event as well.
You're a real badass. He had like a 6 inches to a foot on this guy, and he's just staring him down saying he's going to beat him up over a $10 valet ticket.
Yeah, like it's the guy's choice, too.
Boy, he bugs me. Today's celebrity birthday.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday. But did you get that clip over a walkie-talkie?
Yes. The worst clip ever. Let's hear it again.
You're being a tool, man.
I believe it did come off a walkie-talkie.
Kat Von D celebrates her 31st birthday today. Andy Ross of OK Go is 34, as is singer Tom Chaplin of Keen. James Van Der Beek is 36. Freddie Prinze Jr. turns 37.
And now, if I have a question. There hasn't been a Freddie Prinze Sr. for decades. Is Freddie Prinze Jr. forever? Is he always Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Yes.
Even if there's no confusion anymore as to which Freddie Prinze we're talking about? Does that ever run out?
I'm not quite sure what your question is. You mean professionally or personally
yeah,
or legally?
Yeah, professionally. Why is he always referred to as Junior when...
That's his name.
But the reason most people go by Junior, I think, is to differentiate them from their father who has the same name. That way you know which one you're talking about. If there's only one person that you're ever talking about, why do we keep using the Juniors on these celebrities like Freddie Prinze?
You put your finger on the pulse of something here that's very important.
I think that's his name.
I'm serious.
And he's probably proud of being a Junior, and that's just how he's always identified himself, so he chooses to be Freddie Prinze Jr.
So he's always going to be Freddie Prinze
Why
Jr.
Why does that bother you?
Even when
he's
80.
He's always
Should
going to
Sammy
be Prince
Should Sammy Davis Jr. have dropped the Junior when his father died and he was
yes,
the biggest star
then
in the world?
The only Sammy Davis. Right, exactly.
But Thank he you, isn't Ralph. The only Sammy
so
Davis.
So you're with me.
His father was always Sammy Davis. He was Sammy Davis Jr.
No I don't like with it. You, Bean.
No I don't like it at all. I don't like
don't
it one
care.
Little bit.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Move on. Act like it didn't happen.
Cameron Manheim is 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Less than 3 hours away from the at noon on sale of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013. It's coming up on Saturday, April the 6th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Brad Williams is going to be on the bill. Ari Shaffir, Rob Delaney, Doug Benson, Bill Burr, Jay Moore. Great, great, great lineup of comedians. Great local charities benefiting, too, including the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai NICU. We came up with an interesting way to give away the tickets this time, Kevin. Tell me if this works for you.
All right.
Our friend Pat O'Brien from the sports radio station in town,
yep.
You know, he's been in the show business for a long time. He's not afraid to name drop. He knows, apparently.
When you say not afraid to name drop.
He insists on name dropping.
Okay.
He knows everybody. And we thought, let's challenge Pat on some of his celebrity friends in the comedy world. And let's invite our listeners to call us at 1-800-520-1067 and stump Pat.
I like it.
They're going to stump Pat
about comedians.
About comedians.
Right.
So if you and it doesn't just have to be Bill Burr and Doug Benson and people like that. If you've got a great trivia question about Ricky Gervais or Jerry Seinfeld or Larry David or Kathy Griffin or Ellen DeGeneres, whoever your favorite comedian, if you've got trivia and you can stump Pat, you can give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a chance to win those April Foolishness tickets before they go on sale at noon today. You can get all the details at krock.com. Hey, Pat O'Brien from Fox Sports Radio? ESPN?
Sure.
Which one do you work for, Pat? I'm sorry.
570
a.m.
That's
right,
Kevin.
Sports.
How you guys doing?
We are good.
Great for you to join us. I understand you know a lot of comedians. Of course, we got our big comedy show coming up that we're giving away tickets for right now. Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2013, the Gibson Amphitheater on April 6th. But you have a lot of friends in the comedy world?
Well, you know me. I don't like to tout my own horn at all.
That's all you do, Pat.
I don't like to drop names. Or
that's all you do.
Talk about all my famous friends.
That's
which
the only thing you do.
Quite a few, by the way. But I do know a lot of comedians. I know
okay.
a lot of entertainers. You know, of course, for many years I was an entertainment journalist.
Right. That's
I was
right.
doing
yeah.
The Insider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With Lara.
Access Hollywood. Entertainment Tonight.
Access
you worked
Hollywood.
With all of them. Yeah.
Did. Of course, I was a big sports broadcaster before that. And then,
sure.
Right.
Then a
okay.
regular journalist, newsman right. before that. I had a lengthy career in television. Now I got a big radio show.
All right. Yeah.
Loose Cannons. With Hartman.
Yeah. Yep.
Just ask Hartman. He knows how I roll.
He's not here right now.
I hear you're a has-been and a drunk, though, but let's not get into that.
Here's I will meet you uh-huh. at Sepulveda and Ventura.
Ventura for a
anytime.
Fight.
Right, right okay. there in the corner. You know what I look like.
Yes, we do.
I'll be there all alone. Come ask Hartman. Ask Hartman. He knows I'd lay a few guys out right here.
I don't know who Hartman is.
Hartman. You know Hartman.
1-800-520-1067.
My lesser sidekick on my radio show.
If you have a fascinating
Prime
trivia
time
fact
with Pat O'Brien and
about
Hartman.
A comedian, you can call us right now and stump Pat.
We're gonna stump Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
He's a giant pump his ass.
That's right.
And he knows about comedians.
He knew
everything and everyone.
Yeah.
And can you stump Pat O'Brien?
Nope.
He's the biggest douche of all.
That's right.
Biggest douche of all. Oh, yeah.
Sounds like Omar's giving up on trying to rhyme. Just saying things to music now.
All right, Pat, so here's what's going to happen.
Paul
is...
McCartney once said, I was asking about writing songs.
All right, we
Paul.
Don't have time for you.
We were jamming together. I used to play keyboards,
Right.
In a very
Let's
popular
start
band
with,
back in the 60s.
Thank you, Pat. Stand by, please, sir. Let's start with Curtis. He's on line four. Again, you don't have to ask about one of the acts on the bill at April Foolishness. It could be about any famous comedian. If you've got a question, Pat probably knows the guy and knows the answer. Go ahead, Curtis. You're on the air.
So I've got a question about Gallagher.
Gallagher.
Good friend of mine, Gallagher.
Is he?
Yeah, we sang together in Vegas when he used to perform there at the Sands. Of course, Sands isn't there any longer. But
right.
I remember the Maloof brothers introduced me to Gallagher. That's how I first met him.
Hey, Pat, Curtis has a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Curtis.
So Gallagher was forced to sue his own brother.
Of course
Why?
He was. Because he said he was a has-been and a drunk on Twitter.
No, nope.
So he had to get his legal team ready.
You
know, I know Bob
Pat.
Shapiro. I know Robert Shapiro, the attorney. And if you say something like that, you got a legal team getting ready. You're going to get sued.
Curtis, what was the reason? Was that the correct answer?
That is not the correct answer. Gallagher's brother is actually his twin and stole his act.
That is correct, yeah. Yes.
That's sorry, right. It's just not true.
It is true. Now, Curtis is completely correct. You are in the drawing. You might win tickets for April Fool's.
I will meet Curtis at the corner of Sepulveda and Ventura.
Curtis doesn't have any reason
to
fight
you.
Fight. Why would you
be right there?
Fight?
I'll be all alone. There's a hospital nearby. I won't take you there.
Right.
That's where you'll end up.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Don. Don is on line 5. He has another question about a famous comedian. You're on with Pat O'Brien. Good luck.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Don.
Hi, Don.
Okay, Pat, what former Jackass cast member now performs as a stand-up comedian?
Speaking of Jackass, Johnny Knoxville is a good friend of mine.
Right.
Oh, is he?
Then
I remember visiting
this.
Him on the set of Dukes of Hazzard. Met Jessica Simpson, of course.
Are you saying that that's the answer?
No,
that?
No. I'm saying
Johnny Knoxville.
Jessica Simpson and I were hanging out, and
right.
I remember talking to her, saying, you know, these boots are made for walking would be a good song for you.
Really? You suggested
and then the next
that?
Thing you know,
how about
it's there
that?
In the soundtrack. And,
which Jackass member is now a comedian?
Well, I guess that's
the question.
That'd have to be Johnny Knoxville, then, I guess.
No, Steve-O.
Steve-O, of course it's
Steve-O. He's done
no,
April Foolishness.
I'm afraid that's not correct.
Steve-O was on
correct.
April Foolishness.
I will meet you at the corner
no
of Sepulveda and Ventura.
All right, hold on.
I'll be right there
Don
in the corner.
Is in
you
the
know
drawing.
What it looks like. I'll be there.
All right, we don't have much time. Let's go to Ruben. He's on line 2. I think this is the easiest possible question, Pat, since you know everybody and everything. You're on with Ruben. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Jerry Seinfeld had a TV show. What was it called?
That's right. Jerry Seinfeld did have a TV show.
Great question.
I remember, I think I was the first reporter to interview Jerry Seinfeld when his show first premiered on NBC.
And do you remember the name?
He introduced me to Michael Richards.
Right.
I hung out with Richards for quite a while. That was back in the day, of course, when I was using and drinking. And,
right, but that was a long time ago.
I remember saying to Michael Richards, next time you're on stage, drop the N-word. And he took my advice, and I think that did a lot for his career.
I don't think he had
and yet he doesn't give
that.
Me a lot of credit for that. But that,
Ruben
that
wants
me.
To know the name of Jerry Seinfeld's TV show, Pat.
It was called Here's Jerry.
Here's Jerry.
Here's Jerry.
Is that the name of it, Ruben?
I remember, I debuted that. That was my idea for that title, I think.
No, that is incorrect. The TV show was called Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
No, I'm pretty sure that's incorrect.
That is right.
Sound familiar at all, Seinfeld?
Well, of course, that's his name, but I can't imagine
that's
you would
the
call
of the
show.
Show. That's it was a popular show in the 90s.
All right. Jewish, so, I think.
Ruben is in the drawing for the
can't make
it
a show business as a Jew.
Also, Curtis and Don, only one can
I remember
win.
Talking
say,
to Bruce Springsteen about that. I said, you sound Jewish,
by.
Boss. You might want to change that last name. I know you're not Jewish, but
thank you, Pat.
People might be misinterpreting your last name, thinking
only
you're Jewish.
Only one can
How many Jewish rock stars do you know?
April 6th at the Gibson.
David Lee Roth. David Lee Roth and I were talking about that. I said, I think you're the only Jewish rock star I know, Diamond Dave.
The winner is Curtis.
Curtis!
Yeah!
Curtis, congratulations.
Thank you. Gallagher never fails me.
Pat, thank you.
You know, Tony Curtis
we
was
don't
a friend
have,
of mine.
No, we just
before
don't
he
have.
Passed away, of course. Quite an artist. Time. You know, I'm a good artist.
Thanks for stumping Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
He's a giant pump his ass.
We've got time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us. Hi, Ralph.
Ah! Friday.
It almost feels like
over.
A Friday.
Ralph, almost all over.
Ralph barely made it today.
Almost all over. Before I do that, quick heads up, tomorrow night, 8 p.m., John Lovitz Comedy Club and Podcast Theater up at Universal City Walk. Kevin Smith and I return with our very enjoyable show for us to do anyway. I don't know about the audience, but it's fun for us, called Hollywood Babylon. It is us making fun of people who are rich and famous and more attractive than we are, and we get drunk, and I get drunk, and he gets stoned, and we have a good time. So come out and see us 8 o'clock tomorrow night. You can go to csmod, SEESMOD.com for more details and for tickets.
That's not the door, it's you, Muggs.
It's Beer Mug's creaky knees can be heard in the background. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Brooklyn Decker's got a new gig.
All right.
Here's the thing. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She was Kate Upton before Kate Upton was Kate Upton.
Right.
Right.
And I always thought she was a pretty face and a dynamite body, but she's a pretty good actress, too. Did you catch her in New Girl?
I did.
Yeah,
she was
pretty terrific.
She's funny.
Yeah. Well, looks like CBS thought the same because they just gave her a new comedy. She's starring in a show called Friends with Better Lives. Her co-star of that show will be James Vanderbeek. New sitcom on CBS. Apparently, Brooklyn will play a former model. Oh, I don't know if she's at those kind of jobs. I don't know if she's that kind of range. Looks like our rumors about Star Wars have been confirmed by none other than George Lucas himself. He told Bloomberg Businessweek that we already signed Mark and Carrie and Harrison. And he said they were already in the final stages of negotiations before he even sold Star Wars to Disney.
No kidding.
Before he sold Lucasfilm to Disney for $4 billion, he had already been in negotiations with those three stars to return to the franchise in the seventh Star Wars film. So he said they were in negotiations and closing things up, and he had to call them all separately and say, by the way, you will be in that movie, but I won't be in it because I'm selling the whole deal to Disney. So
this guy went, yes.
Oh, fine. I don't have to try to read that dialogue. Oh, thank God. So that's good news for Star Wars fans. Looks like it's the real deal. They will be coming back. Joy Behar's leaving The View. Bean must be crushed.
No.
I know he loves The View.
He does love that view.
No! She's been on that show for as long as it's been on. How long do you think The View has been on?
I would have no idea. That's not even on my radar. I'd say
but
10,
you know.
10 years?
You know, you've been aware of it, right?
Yeah,
how long do you think The View has been on the air?
Yeah, I'm going 10 years.
I don't know if that's that much. I'd go 6 or 7.
16 and a half years.
Really? Wow.
Can you believe it's been almost 20 years that show's been on?
No.
She and Barbara Walters are the only original co-hosts. She is leaving, apparently, to concentrate on her stand-up career. No! It's a lose-lose for everyone. By the way, Elizabeth Hasselbeck has not yet signed past the current season as well, so she may be leaving.
Hate to see that show dissolve.
What would she do if she left The View?
That's all she's ever done.
She was on Survivor before that. Yep. That was it, right? Yeah.
You know who's really worthless on that show is Whoopi, though. She has nothing interesting to say, and she's a terrible interviewer.
But she farted that time.
Well, she does
that. That did happen.
That was strong.
That happened. That was.
And I guess there was a time where she was considered a pretty good comedian, right, Ralph? She was pretty well respected as a comedian. She just doesn't seem like she seems like the least funny person in the world.
When
to me.
She had her one man show or one woman show on Broadway, she was sort of the edgy hot ticket in town. I was like, she is a cutting edge, urban sort of, you know, like a Richard Pryor, female Richard Pryor type comedian. Everyone was talking about her being the next hot thing in comedy. She was going to put the business on its ear.
Right.
And then she started getting film roles. She did Color Purple out of that, of course. That was a big blockbuster hit for her. Everybody said, oh, she's a brilliant actress. She's going to be everything.
Yeah, and then, Ghost, of course.
And then she did Jimmy or Sammy or whatever that movie was, where she was like the coach or the
basketball coach,
York,
right? Yeah,
or whatever. Yeah. And now she's
just wearing muumuus on TV.
That ended that conversation. The best story of the week. It's sad it comes so late in the day, but it's pretty spectacular. TMZ.com and other websites have footage of Justin Bieber in the UK. As I told you, he should get the hell out of that country. He's not doing well there.
He's not doing himself any favors, which I love.
He was late for a show for 2 hours. Kids falling asleep in the audience, people leaving early because they had school the next day at the O2 Arena, 2 hours late before he went on stage. Then, last night, he almost passed out, faded on stage. They had to cart him off and give him oxygen. That show was stopped for 20 minutes. His manager, Scooter Braun, said, that was Hitler's nickname for Ava, wasn't it? Scooter?
Scooter.
Scooter Braun?
Ah, me and Scooter were in the bunker.
I don't think so.
Taking over Poland. And I said to Scooter, where is Blondie, my German Shepherd?
Said that he was low of breath, and that's why he couldn't continue. But then Justin came out, man, and like a trooper finished the show.
Was he no longer low of breath?
He's no longer low of breath.
Who talks like that?
So today, Bieber is leaving the hotel, and he's rushing for his SUV, and he sideswipes one of the paparazzo, kind of runs into him.
With his shoulder, you mean?
Yeah, kind of makes contact on the way to the SUV, and the guy is ticked off and starts screaming assault, which is easy, right, first of all. But the best part is he starts cursing at Bieber. Bieber hops in the back of the SUV, and he starts saying some wonderful things like, F you, you cocky little blank, and F off back to England, to America, and he just goes off on Bieber. Effing little moron. He gives a pretty good run there. When suddenly Bieber bursts out of the SUV.
All right. It's on.
And goes after the paparazzo, starts screaming at him, saying he's going to kick his ass and he's going to effing beat the F out of him.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. No, that's race
not a
war.
Race war. No.
Race war's on, everybody.
I believe they're
it's
both white
down.
Guys.
It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
And I'm sure Justin would have done just that if his 17 bodyguards hadn't have been holding him back. I'm sure he really would have. Really
yeah,
would
it's real
have cleaned,
safe to jump out
exactly.
When you know.
It's one of those bar fights, like your friend's like, okay, hold me back. I will kick your ass, man. If it wasn't for these guys, hold me back. I'd destroy you. So here's the footage. We had to clean it up a little bit. Oh, geez. I hope Dave got everything.
We had to clean it up a lot.
Here's the audio of that footage. You can see it on TMZ.com as well as some other sites of Bieber manning up and going to take out a British photographer.
You little that's America.
You little moron.
You are one, man.
What'd you say?
You are one.
Right? What'd you say? What'd you say? You heard what I said. And then Bieber says, I'll effing beat the F out of you. Needless to say, Justin never got a chance to show his MMA skills.
Sure.
Because they stuffed him back in the SUV and then the car sped away. So hopefully that's the end of Bieber in London. Not a very successful tour.
I hope he has the same success when he comes back.
So do I. So do I. And I hope his bodyguards aren't nearly as readily available the next time he picks a fight with
seriously,
him.
You guys hold me back. Seriously.
Did you see the photo that he tweeted last night from the hospital, though, Ralph?
What?
Did you see that picture?
No.
They take him to the hospital after he gets the oxygen and finishes the show.
Right.
And maybe you're going, well, you know, maybe there's something wrong with him. Maybe, you know, cut him some slack for a second.
No
maybe
one's saying that.
This is the I'm thinking maybe this is the time to be sympathetic. Maybe there's actually something wrong. He tweets a picture of him laying in the bed like a cheesecake photo with his shirt off.
No way.
Yes.
Yeah,
tweets
sexy.
Out a picture of him with his shirt off.
Woo-hoo.
Hey, girls. Basically, it's what it is. I mean, does he ever make the right move?
Not yet.
Lately, no. Not. He's 100% wrong move. I love it.
This just in, by the way. Apparently, Justin has tweeted about the altercation this morning with the paparazzi. Ah, rough morning, Justin tweets. Trying to feel better for this show tonight, but let the paps get the best of me. Sometimes when people are shoving cameras in your face all day and yelling the worst things possible at you, well, I'm human. Rough week, he says. You think it's rough now? Wait till you're 30 and working at Arby's after you've burned through all your cash.
You don't have security guards.
Call Vanilla Ice and see what kind of week he had.
Right.
To go find out what that's like.
See if you can get on the Home and Garden Network along with Vanilla Ice doing a remodeling right. show.
When you're on Celebrity Fit Club, Justin, when you put on 112 pounds, give me a call then. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kat Von D of L.A. Inc. is 31 years old today. I told you the story before, right? My mom and dad came to visit me. They lived down towards San Diego, and they came up to visit. We were driving around Hollywood, and my dad says to me, where's Kat Von D's place? I'm like, what? You know, where's her tattoo parlor? I'm like, what the hell? Oh, we love that show, that L.A. Inc. show. We watch it all the time.
How'd she get on their radar?
I guess they were flipping around, and they ran across L.A. Inc., and so they were big Kat Von D fans. I don't think that show's on the air anymore, is it?
It doesn't.
No, it's not.
She's 31 years old today. Andy Ross of OK Go is 34 years old. Tom Chaplin of Keen is also 34. James Vanderbeek is 36 years old. Freddie Prinze Jr. is 37 years old today. If you missed the last hour, Bean found it unacceptable that Freddie Prinze Jr. is still using the Junior on it.
Well, I just don't understand it. That's all.
But listen.
It's his name.
We don't have to revisit it. I'm willing to let it go.
I thought about it, and I said, Freddie Prinze was a very successful actor and comedian.
Correct. But in 2013, no one who reads a newspaper article that says Freddie Prinze was at a movie premiere is going to mistakenly think it's his father.
But
there's only one Freddie Prinze in show business.
But as an he had an established career for a number of years, and now Freddie Prinze Jr. also has his career. If you take your Jr. out of that, then you start confusing the issue on IMDb. Is it the movie starring Freddie Jr., Freddie Prinze, or is it Freddie Prinze? It's a delineation, that's all.
I don't like it.
All right, noted.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is 37 years old today. And Cameron Manheim celebrates her 52nd birthday.
This is for all the fat girls!
So Cameron said she won her Emmy for The Practice. She is 52 years old. I'm Ralph Garman Jr., and I walk the showbiz beat.
We have one last giveaway, a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood. Four callers right now, 10 through 13. We'll take callers 10 through 13 at 1-800-520-1067. And don't forget, today at noon, you can buy your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2013.
Monday and you morning. Should. You should buy those tickets, yes, by the way. Should. It's for a good cause. It's going to be a great night.
Monday morning, we have more to give away in case you don't get them today at noon.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I just need some babes, man.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
If you're white, you don't belong here tonight.
Roll another one.
You're an unbelievably stupid man, aren't you?
Just like the other one.
Something's got to be done about phone
this
books.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I loved McHale's Navy.
I need another hit.
Crack is cheap. I made too much money to ever smoke crack. Let's get that straight, okay? We don't do crack. We don't do that. Crack is whack.
Roll,
crack is whack.
Roll another one.
You know what? I can't wait till the Asians take over.
Just like the other one.
What is happening?
This one seems to be about to end.
Oh my God.
I don't have another cent.
Now that we found love, what are we gonna do?
Someone needs to explain to me hygiene here.
Just pass it around.
Have you ever been on Lufthansa airline before?
Would you like to take that back?
Just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
Thank you, Maestro. Beautifully done.
We came. We won. We saw. We are.
What? You've wasted all those hours. F*** you. And thank you so much. You've been so helpful. Now get the f*** out of the way.
I believe we are free to go. Are we not?
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Technically is good enough for me. Gentlemen, we are free men. Let's go.
All right, dude. Say goodbye, Doe. Goodbye, Doe. I need some babes. Maybe Kevin and Bean can pay for it. Oh, hell's yeah.